The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah. Like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Yeah. Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I cared about you? No. You're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and we are here to talk everything Patriots until 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Big in-stadium practice last night, guys. Lots to talk about as a result of that practice, both on the field and injuries that might have happened or might not have happened. We don't know. We'll know more today when the Patriots go out at 1:30 to practice. But for now, Andy's here, Eric's here, Paul's here.
Fred's
Darren,
loud.
Darren, the intern, is here. Matt LaPan is in the
headphones.
Booth. Pepe.
I have headphones. I can't adjust.
I tell you,
the mics are.
I know that.
Very loud.
Kevin was doing work here. He put some new equipment. Everything's all changed up. The computer. I can't get to the phones.
We don't like change.
It sounds different.
What was wrong with what we had?
Wow.
Well, they had to add some stuff because we're adding a whole bunch of new programming this year from footballnation.com. They had to get some remote stuff put in and equipment because some of the shows are done off-site. But you know,
they took out the loud vent above your head.
But everything's different now. What, Pepe?
They took out the loud vent above your head too.
They took out the loud vent above our head. Okay, that never seemed to bother me before, but that's okay. But the mics are different.
And I have a cough box.
Yeah. And I talk to Pepe.
And you're not supposed to hear me, but I think you could hear me.
Yeah,
I could not. Not through the headphones.
Oh, really?
No. Oh, yeah. Good.
I kind of heard myself in the background.
Myself?
All right. So
he's Irish now.
Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398, webradio at patriots.com. It's the way you email us. And Paul and I worked last night. We were at the
We were
at the practice. Darren, the intern, was there.
Darren did yeoman's work.
And I guess the highlight last night was the fight, right, Paul?
I can't remember a fight of that magnitude in all the years, 13 camps I think it's been now.
Right.
Do you remember one that involved that many people?
Not only in a practice, but even in a game. I've never seen a bench-clearing brawl.
Well, in a game, that would have been a major news story.
Right.
Yeah, probably would have heard about that.
But you know, in a game, tempers, you're actually playing people you don't like, and you would think that if there was a fight like that, it would happen, and that's I've never seen anything like
it. And I'm calling it a brawl because of the amount of people that were involved, not necessarily because of the
damage
level,
done.
Yeah, the level of fighting.
There was fracas.
Yeah, there wasn't any fighting. I got fracas in my story.
Yeah.
I told Fred I'm going to get fracas in here somewhere as I was writing it.
Donnybrook?
There were a couple of minor skirmishes before that.
Rhubarb?
Rhubarb.
Never heard that.
Yeah. Just to let everybody know, maybe and people that haven't read it yet, Belichick kind of opened up the night before the practice started by saying this is really starting to get to that time where, it's you're grinding it out. You got to get through it. Somehow you just got to get through it. You get in that routine, go home, get a good night rest, come back, do the same thing. It's a little bit monotonous, but you have to go through it. And you saw signs of that immediately, some of the one-on-one drills were, you know, there was some pushing and shoving. Dan Coburn was involved in a couple. Dane Fletcher was involved in one. Kyle Hicks was involved. And then all of a sudden, there was a live team period right toward our end zone, which was great. We got a good view of it. A running play off tackle to the left. Nate Solder went out and absolutely destroyed Brandon Spice.
Cleanly. Right.
Killed him. Knocked him off. It was, you know, reminded me of the – there was no foul on the play.
Yeah,
as well. In a game, I have absolutely no problem. I don't think there was anything cheap about it. There was nothing. It wasn't a dirty practice. You could probably argue. I don't know if we need to have him, you know, finishing his block to the point where he's hitting a guy who's already on the ground in practice,
and
a guy who's
coming
off an injury. So that's why I think we've seen a couple of places. I read Greg Bedard called it a cheap shot. I think cheap shot's a little strong, but I can understand where this started, and that's definitely where it escalated.
And they did make Solder run a lap after that.
And we can only infer that it was due to his part in the melee.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, good. Ah. Yet another one.
But Spikes got hurt, I think, on the original hit. He was down. He didn't look right from the start. He kind of took a while to roll over. Darren saw the same thing. We actually got a chance to see a little video of it in-house because there was it was the in-stadium practice.
Right.
So, you know, it was on the board and stuff. I think that he tried to get up. It took him a while. He got knocked back down. Patrick Chung came over and was not happy. And that's kind of where it escalated. And when I tell you, every offensive and defensive player was involved.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yeah, it was a bench clearing brawl.
It was a benches clearing brawl, even though there were no benches to be cleared because they were already on the field, which made it easier for everybody to get involved.
Can't be fined for leaving the bench.
It didn't last very long. It was sort of
it was just the guys
de-escalated pretty quickly.
Was it just the guys who were the 22 that were on the field?
Oh, no.
They all came sideline too?
Yeah.
All offensive and defensive players
were involved.
Wow.
If there were people that weren't involved, I can only assume it was only the special teams guys that weren't involved. Everybody was out there. Tom Brady was pulling Gerard Mayo by the shoulder pads, trying to rip him out. We were sort of speculating that maybe he was saying, you know, we're captains. We need to stop this nonsense. And you know, Chung was really mad. Chung got really upset. He went at Solder. And Fred makes a good point. Solder was then told to take a lap. So maybe the coaches saw something in Solder that they didn't like either.
Well, later I'll tell you what I saw. Me being much more happy about Nate Solder today than I was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and overall,
he's a guy that I've always questioned if he had that mean streak.
Right.
I like to see the mean streak.
You saw the mean streak in this. And not only that, Andy, he had a good practice overall. You know, this one particular play aside,
my fears with him have never really been skill-related. It's that killer instinct-related. And if he brings that to the table, and I'm going to credit Spikes a little bit, even though he was the one that was getting... He brings that to this team, and we've talked a little bit about maybe Hightower bringing it, and we've even talked Chung last year. I mean, this team, I think, needs an edge, especially on defense, and I credit those guys for raising that level of edginess.
And Chung, since even the beginning of practice, he's been chewed out for tackling a guy during seven-on-sevens. Even yesterday after this, he was still fired up. And
he got really mad.
At one point, you know, he sent somebody behind him, and he turned around to swing, and it was Gallery. And he looked up and goes, oh, okay.
I was talking about it during the brawl. Gallery was out there toward as it sort of ended, Andy, and everybody was, kind of milling around, going back to the respective spots. All of a sudden, Gallery didn't have his helmet on, and I said, that's when the fight's over. When he says it's over, that's it.
Right.
Everybody back to their corners.
Well, after they unpeeled this huge pile of people, Gallery was on the bottom of it, so.
He and Chung got into it pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chung was active in the whole thing. It was interesting, and we should add that, Spikes was definitely injured. Well, he was hurt in some way on the play. He stayed down for a while. He went up with Dr. Gill. They walked right through the tunnel down in that end zone. What's that? The south end zone.
Yeah.
He went to the tunnel, went back, was gone for about somewhere between 15 minutes and a half hour. Fred estimated 20.
20 minutes.
We went with Team PFW, went with 20. He came back with a brace on his right knee that he did not have on prior to that. So, Andy and I were talking this morning. We know that he was, he didn't practice the first 4 days. He was out there in body only.
Yeah.
So clearly he wasn't quite ready for full bore contact. So you wonder if it's re-aggravated, on the hit, as part of the brawl, what it was. He came back out, did very little physically. I saw him take one rep.
Yep.
To my knowledge, he was in one rep on a red zone drill down the other end, the north end zone, and he didn't really hit anybody. He just kind of ran to the side, and that was it.
But that right knee is the knee that he's been wearing a neoprene wrap on. Mm-hmm. It's the knee he's limping on. That's the one he's favored. You know, the other day after he made his first team action in the red zone, he was flying around. I thought he noticeably limped off a little bit. So clearly that is
I'm
still
hoping
coming.
That the brace was just a precaution. Look, you know, this is what could happen. Let's put a brace on this thing before, you know.
And he took part in whatever was left in practice?
Yeah. Well, but not really.
One play.
Oh, one play?
Yeah.
He was out.
But not really.
Yeah.
Well, he was out there. It was kind of like Rob Ninkovich, Andy. I mean, Ninkovich has been out there in full uniform the last 2 days, has done very little in terms of anything physical. Last three practices, I think, actually. Deion Branch is another one who has been he's been out there in gear, but not really taking a lot of reps.
So kind of a one step forward, two steps back, maybe, for Spikes as far as
well, we'll see. We'll see what happens today if he can get out there. I am not putting him in the lock to be.
Spikes are ultra sensitive.
Wow. They really are. It sounded like thunder rumbling through. And
I'm wondering if people hear that.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of. I got a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
Reverb.
Yeah.
Reverb. Good word.
These are very sensitive.
Anyway,
it's gonna be, I think Spikes' like presence on the field today will be. The top priority. Hopefully he's out there and hopefully he's taking part, but I'm certainly not putting that in a lock.
Other than that,
I think
Brady had his normal practice. I think Gronkowski and Hernandez look good. Ridley's still getting the number one carries. But they've been
Bolden's
using Bolden.
Getting a lot of carries.
Yeah, I was just going to say after Ridley, they've been looking at Bolden before Vereen. Not that I think that means he's now, you know, moved up in the depth
chart.
Just
trying to give him some opportunities.
You know, they're interested in to see what Bolden can do.
Well, they need to see what Vereen can do. As much as I like him, he is not a known commodity
on
any level.
Yeah, Bolden I don't think is getting reps because they know what Vereen is. I think it's more they've maybe decided that Vereen is a different position than Bolden. And they might be looking at it a different way. Or it could just be flat out they like Bolden and they want to see if this guy is you know, they have something. They had an undrafted rookie a few years back in Benny from the same school that, you know, they got an opportunity they wanted. Maybe they just want to see, hey, we like this guy. We think he can do some things. Bill talked about him, I think, on Tuesday saying, you know, we saw him in college. We saw some of the things that he did. He was productive catching the football. Andy's been, you've been talking that aspect of his game up a little bit.
And he was productive at that in college. He was seen coming out as a tweener, not an every down back, not a third down back.
So maybe they just like him more than Vereen right now. Who knows?
I hope not.
Well, Vereen hasn't really done anything wrong.
No, he's clearly getting more opportunities than Vereen the last couple of practices anyway. I'm not reading too much into it. As Bill says, don't look at the depth chart. And
only 1 week in, so.
But, yeah, there's some interesting things going on in that regard. We should also add there were four veteran players that were not at practice yesterday for the first time. Will Allen, Dan Conley, Brandon Lloyd, and Jonathan Finene. Those are four guys who had yet to miss a practice that weren't seen. Really difficult in terms of the guys not in uniform last night to identify if anybody was actually out there in shorts and T-shirts. A lot of people on the field, as you can imagine, in the stadium. Much more condensed area than the two practice fields. So there's a lot of people, non-uniformed personnel,
and in case,
to sort of decipher and, from
in case
from
listeners
a long way
are wondering,
away.
This was a in-stadium practice for season ticket holders.
22,633.
And Foxborough residents. So, right, as Paul said, just shy of 23,000 people there.
So it's a third of the stadium.
Yeah, so last year, they had 17 for the same practice. So
it's like eight Rebs games.
Yeah, yeah, they said that it's not a record, but it was about 5,000 more than they had last year. So
what's the record?
They said there was 1 year they had more. I don't know what it was.
Maybe the first year they did it. Yeah.
I just wanted
but the lower bowl was pretty full filled in.
Quick update. There's been reports from Comcast Sportsnet New England, Tom Curran, Mary Paletti, both saying that sources say that the Lloyd thing is minor. He's just dealing with a minor thing, but it's nothing to worry about.
Okay. So, like as in a kid or Oh, an injury. Okay, good.
A minor injury. Oh,
that's good.
Yeah. He's the guy that's supposed to keep us out of trouble when he says something like that.
And in this day and age, in this,
right,
you know,
that's what I'm talking
football
about.
Football atmosphere.
This climate.
Just making sure. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline.
It's these things. When I turn these off, you guys sound perfect, but when I turn them on,
so turn them off.
A lot of echo.
Then we can't hear him, right?
Somebody said I sounded like I'm in a tin can.
Yeah,
no, that's better.
Sounds a little
It's a lot better now, doesn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's these things.
Oh, so turn it off.
I can't and talk.
What do you mean?
Do you want?
That's his microphone.
This is on.
This is off.
This is on.
This is off.
I can't have these on and be on and not be off.
It's not his fault. It's
no, I know.
It's Kevin's fault.
And it's not Pepe's fault either.
No, it's Kevin's fault. Well, everything is.
Kevin had somebody in here helping.
Make sure you get this on TV.
And the
this
person
is good
he had
right here.
I'm going with Kevin.
This is on. This is off.
I mean, don't they test this stuff after they put it
on? Oh, now the camera's moving. I'm doing my best to try to solve it right now. I think it might be something out here.
No, I think it's these amplify everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and once mine goes off.
When he turned his off.
Darren turned his off. You've turned yours off, and it's a lot quieter now, except for the air conditioner that we can hear that sounds like a plane taking off every so often. They took a panel out of the ceiling.
Fred's going to drop an F-bomb.
Eric, I'm glad to see you wearing your polo today.
Why wouldn't I? It's camp.
Well, I don't know. Yesterday was camp. And you didn't,
but we didn't have
so I don't
Andy know. And I didn't have access yesterday.
Not for
everybody. Whoa. You fight your own battles. You leave me out of this.
Yeah. Well, you didn't.
I mean.
But he didn't mention
Tattletale.
TJ, that's not very nice.
What do you mean, tattletale? You were there
you were
during the day.
Playing the role of the little kid getting yelled at by the. He did.
Yeah, he did it too.
Why don't you fight?
You
your
were
own
in
battles?
The. You were in his office when we had the discussion.
He doesn't get it, and he never will because he's an only child.
That could be it. Yeah,
Darren, are you an only child?
Nope, older brother.
Darren's not happy.
You Forbes are an older brother, or you have an older brother.
What's that?
You are an older brother.
I
or you
have an
you
older
have
brother.
Yep.
Forbes came out with their rankings today, and Williams number 2.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Sad to see.
Not happy. Now, 6 schools from the NESCAC, though, in the top 30.
How does that Forbes thing work? Is it?
I don't really know.
Is it
how
like
they,
money related?
There's like
a combination
things.
Of things. Yeah.
One of them is how graduates fare right after getting jobs, how much money they make. One is how much debt they have coming out of school.
So it's not like the U.S. News World Report.
It's
best,
more of a
best
money
colleges in terms of.
No, academics and that kind
of
thing.
And everything, the whole package.
Well, no, I actually think this is a better ranking because it tells you, do they get a job?
Tufts rank higher in this
No, they rank lower. It tells you, do they get a job? Do they have a lot of student loans and stuff when they leave college? Does the school have a high rate of, like, one of those Rhodes Scholars and those types? I think it's a better ranking. I actually think the U.S. News and World Report one isn't very good. Because one of it is like the endowment.
All of them are stupid.
Great, so
there's
they have
so
a lot
many
of money.
Things to rank. Well,
I think this one's a lot better. Yeah,
well, because
I think it's a lot more useful, realistic.
The U.S. World is always, I mean, the top 100 is like 75 of them are New England schools.
Right. Yeah.
It's, I mean, ridiculous how well all the New England schools do. And this one, I noticed some of the New England schools were way down. Like in the low, you know, way in the hundreds, 200s.
Yeah.
Schools,
just reading the
schools
formulas,
that are in like the top 50 or so are like 250.
Just reading the formulas from both, I think the Forbes one is a legit. If you're picking a school, you want to know, am I going to have debt when I leave? Are there a lot of smart kids around that are lifting the academic, whatever, integrity of the school? Am I going to get a job and make good money when I leave? To me, those are important factors.
Well, yeah, but it
not,
know.
Oh, they have $14 billion in their endowment. Woohoo!
Well, right. The endowment. Most of the schools
that's
don't
a huge
you know,
one on U.S. News and World Report.
Yeah, well, that's
a huge category.
Like Northeastern has no endowment, basically. They
right,
have,
so
they
can
killed
never
that,
be
but,
really high.
But they're really that. High in the U.S. World Report. They're really low in this Forbes one.
Oh, that's what this is about. He's ripping the Forbes
one.
Yeah.
No,
Northeast,
I was
Northeastern,
asking.
The school he didn't go to didn't
right.
do well.
Well,
right.
but BU
Where's
also,
Northeastern?
No, well, this was BU was also really low, which was our alma mater, Eric and I, even though I hate it. And UNH.
So did Eric.
UNH was really low.
By the way, Paul was showing Darren his injury, his Achilles scar and everything. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
What, is that
what does that have to do with this?
Nothing. It had to do with the intern. So.
All right. It's a tough injury.
I figured out, you know, not that I didn't already know this, Andy, but I made the final determination that the intern is everything I always wanted to be. He comes out last night. He made like 2 trips back to the pizza. You know,
it was good.
Baseball, football star, in tremendous shape, young, his whole life ahead of him. He's eating pizza like it's going out of style.
Hair.
That's what I say. He's got everything.
He ate more pizza than I did.
He's got everything. What are you going to do?
I did. It was good.
All right. Web
radio. I also add to Andy's point about Tom Curran. having that report. He is pretty tight with Brandon Lloyd. Talked to him a couple of times during the free agent period.
Continues to say that Brandon Lloyd is the best, deep, most productive deep receiver in the history of the NFL or something.
So
he's that far in his pocket.
You could take that either way. You could say, well, he has a good relationship with Lloyd, so that means Lloyd probably talked to him and said it's nothing. And you can feel good about that, which I probably would tend to side with that. Or you could say, well, he's trying to help Lloyd out.
Carrying his water.
You know, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, that would hurt him then if it...
Ultimately, if it turned out to be serious, yeah, it would.
Well, or if it takes too long for him to get back, then people are saying, well, why isn't he out here if it's not serious? So that's a reflection on Lloyd being...
But then he says, like, well, you know, Bill just wanted to take it cautiously.
Right. Anyway, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
I think it's Darren's more than mine.
Mine's worse, I think.
Yeah. We're here until 1 o'clock. Then Bill Belichick takes over patriots.com with his press conference.
With his witty banter.
And is it Bill Belichick today?
Yeah, 1 o'clock.
Is it? Okay.
One of them was TBA.
Yeah. I thought both of them.
I think they announced that, it says Bill Belichick's press conference coming up at 1.
Okay.
According to the Patriots' Twitter account.
The Patriots or Patriots.com?
No, the Patriots' Twitter account.
Because I worry because Patriots.com is Chris and
knows
nothing.
No.
All right. And then, of course, practice starts at 1:30, and we'll have all the updates after that. Although I did notice that yesterday during the fracas, everybody was tweeting. Rupert. So I guess, you know, it's okay to tweet now during practice.
Well,
during the practice?
During the practice.
I didn't.
Oh.
I didn't. What was it? Celebrities?
Spikes is back. He's wearing a brace. The whole thing.
Oh, there's like a news one. It's a vague.
There's a lot of gray area in the new rule.
Yeah.
Apparently, either the PFWA or the NFLPA, some
PFWA,
group,
I think.
PFWA petitioned the NFL and got permission to
other
let
places
all
play by play.
Yeah. But you can tweet, I think it's facts and notable sightings of.
That's why the only thing I've tweeted so far is Carl Banks is here because Stacey actually said, like, celebrity guests or something is one thing you definitely can do.
But it's a gray area because a fact is. You know, if you describe a trick play, you're describing a fact.
Right.
That's the play they just ran.
Right. But you're not. So I was told, I don't know if this is in the rule or the agreement here, that injuries you weren't because they didn't want, kind of like the Spikes thing. Brandon Spikes is gone for the year.
Yeah.
Oh, Brandon Spikes is back. Like, they want the entirety of the news to be available on some level.
What happened last night, now I feel like I'm sounding funny.
Can you sound all right.
The same? I feel like last night was exactly the scenario that they wanted to avoid.
Yeah.
What ended up happening on the field last night, they wanted to avoid everybody saying, Spikes got hurt, doesn't look good, he went to the tunnel. Because let's face it, we all didn't think, none of us thought we were going to see him back on the field.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, 20 minutes later, he's back out there with a knee brace. Oh, false alarm, Spikes is back. I thought that's exactly what they were looking to avoid.
It is, but that's exactly what they were
doing.
And
that's what everybody did?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And maybe it was a learning experience. Maybe things will be altered or spoken about or to.
I just think it's so much easier to just say, no tweeting during practice. What is so hard about
that? But that isn't the rule anymore.
Because the PFW writers complained.
So what?
No. Well, they got their
way. No,
PFWA writers. Sorry. PFWA writers.
What does that stand for?
Pro Football Writers of America.
Right. Has nothing to do with us.
No, it has nothing to do with us.
Yes, because
we're not even allowed to be.
We're not allowed to be in the PFWA.
I was actually kicked out. I was once a member like 10 years ago, and they said, oh, you're out.
Right, because you work for the team.
Because I'm in the pocket less than John McCain is, but let's not worry about that with the Texans.
Yeah, isn't that just ridiculous?
Isn't it McClain?
McClain,
what about all the guys
covers
here?
Those Texans.
Yeah. Well, I
in the pocket.
Didn't really want to.
He's got more in his mind than...
I didn't want to, you know, if I'm going to take a shot, I'll take it from afar. I don't need to.
I've never been in the PFWA, Fred. I don't pay people to be my friend.
But you were in the baseball one, right? The Baseball Writers Association of
no.
America?
No? No, I wouldn't pay them to be my friends either.
You don't have any friends, Paul.
I have a lot of friends. You're my friend, Fred.
But yesterday I went up to the press box just to hang out.
He didn't respond to that.
And you said I'd rather hang out with people I like, and you were sitting alone.
He went up to the press box at 4 o'clock. He went up earlier yesterday than he does for games. And then he got mad at me because I was like, I'm just going to stay here.
You should have done a live curse words.
We're not allowed to.
Yeah.
Other people do.
Well, that was before practice. Couldn't you do it before practice?
Yeah. All right, let's get to some of the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Somebody by the name of...
Yeah, why don't you shut yours off until you want to talk? Use it as a reverse cough button. Use it as a talk button.
Yeah.
Because it picks up everything.
It's like a haunted house.
It really, it picks up everything.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on here.
What part of shut it off until you talk to you?
Well, I was Thinking about talking. I'll shut it.
I was thinking. Maybe I'll talk.
Somebody named Big Wave is writing in. Says, since the Patriots haven't reached a long-term deal with Wes Welker, what is more likely? One, Welker plays the full 2012 season with the Patriots, or two, the Patriots trade Welker to recoup some value instead of letting him walk away next year?
One.
The former is more likely. But I still think that there's a slight possibility of the second happening.
I mean, they can franchise him again next year at a 20% increase, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they can do that if they want to.
Or they can trade him, or they could franchise him and trade him.
Yeah,
any
well, he
of
was
that.
Asking.
Well, they can't. They
could trade him during the season.
Right.
So trade him after the season when they franchise him.
Up to March. What's the new season start? They'd have up until. So the season ends. Let's say whenever it ends, Super Bowl or before. How much time do the Patriots have, or how long is he still a property of the Patriots after the season is the question, without a new deal.
Until the new league year starts. But he wouldn't
and
be
that
able
is
be,
what, March
can't be
4th?
Traded.
But he wouldn't be able to be traded because it would be after the trade deadline.
Right. Yeah, the trades can't be consummated until the league year starts.
You'd have to wait.
You'd have to
franchise
him and then trade him.
And then trade him again.
Right.
But
so you're looking at probably really early March.
But Big Wave wanted to know if we thought he was going to get traded this year.
No, right.
And I said no.
Right. We thought it was better chance that he would.
And I think my point here is that in order to retain the rights of Wes Welker next year, they have to franchise him, right?
Or sign him.
Short of signing an extension.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
But I don't think it's that big a deal.
Why not?
I mean, when you enter with the cap space, some teams had cap. I think if teams know that Wes Welker's available. The whole cap thing, or you can't, you know, Bill's thing. You got to sign it to be able to. I think if they want to trade him and somebody wants him, it's a very simple maneuver. You know, the team only has to eat the $11 million for that period. Then they sign him to, you know, their 4-year, $40 million deal and drop the cap number to $5 million. They get that six back. Okay, everybody's happy.
Okay,
I agree.
I think it's easy to work out if that's what wants to be done by all parties.
Right. So. If the Patriots want to avoid him simply walking away, they can do that, and it can be affordable to do that.
The Patriots hold the cards. They can decide what they want to do. If they want to franchise him, like you guys said, absolutely. I don't think that's going to happen. I think if they franchise him, it's going to be with the intentions of trading him. I don't think they want to have that 11-plus million hit next year. You can't talk anymore?
I was told to shut my mic off.
Okay. Why?
Me too. I think Flash is testing some equipment issues here.
During the show.
Oh, for God's sake.
The F-bomb's coming.
Keep your head down.
Let's see. Michelle in Stockholm writes in. Stockholm. She writes in, I can't seem to stay away from NFL.com. And a few days ago, Albert Breer wrote about the Patriots. And according to him, as a fan, I should be worried about the uncertainty of our O-line. Okay, so cool. Turn them off.
Okay, I was thinking of talking, but I'm not going to.
Okay. So according to Albert Breer, says Michelle, that we should be uncertain about the O-line. I'd like to tell him, as a fan, that's the least of my worries. Since I haven't written in a minute, some things on past shows, no one ever talked about taking the carpool lane from L.A. to San Diego. That's true.
Would chop some time off.
We didn't factor that in. Smoking should not be allowed where there are kids, period. And I've been known to smoke an occasional cigarette here and there. Okay. That has to do with the smoking ban at Gillette Stadium. People
just doing a rundown of all your terrible shows.
Your fascinating shows. When
people
when
seem obsessed with where Hernandez lines up. He is a wide receiver, a tight end, or even a running back. Who cares? It's a moot point, or it's moot, as long as we win. Andy pushes the button to laugh.
Pushes the mute button, ironically.
I don't mind B-Lo at all. Actually, it's a nice change of pace, she says. Okay, for all those B-Lo haters out there.
And there are many.
The intern Darren is a great addition, the way he unexpectedly chimes in. It's awesome.
Thank you.
And I must say, Andy is one of my favorites to follow on Twitter. Funny and sarcastic, no better combo. All right, just got back from France where I laid on the beach, had drinks, and ate a lot. I guess I'm supposed to be working. Yesterday, I sent 4 emails and 3 texts. The word that comes to mind is efficient. As always, thanks for a great show and the write-ups on Patriots.com. It almost feels like I'm at camp watching. So that's Michelle
Thank you, Michelle. That's the idea.
In Stockholm. So, I don't like this setup. This is not good. I feel like I'm the only one on the show.
I don't either, because I really have to think, is this worthy of me pressing the button to talk?
You sound farther away,
too. That actually might be a good thing.
You sound like you're farther away.
Suck it.
Really?
That was worth it.
Why are you the only one? Eric and I are participating.
Oh.
Really?
Is that what you call that?
Really?
Wow.
We know that Darren and I carry the show.
I mean, I know that we don't have any, you know, double entendres. But I think we're having a fine show without Big Head.
You're boring me.
Good, so turn your mic off and shut up.
Can you hear when I hit the button?
Yes.
Yes.
We can't hear you, though, Flash.
Now we can't hear Pepe.
Oh, you having a private conversation in the headsets?
Can you hear me now?
This is good radio.
Is this better?
That's better. I can hear you.
Andy, you don't have to punch the button. You can just lightly press it.
Oh, he doesn't know his own strength.
Okay.
Andy
wants
to
talk. All those years of juice.
Well, we might also decide, you know, maybe the next time that we test the equipment before we actually go on the air with it.
Prior planning prevents piss poor performance.
Cody writes in. He says he's pissed. So every single time I read anything about the Patriots, of course you hear the stupid people trying to make themselves feel better about liking an inferior team by bringing up Spygate. I'm about to go on a rampage if I have to hear one more stupid person talking about how Belichick isn't a good coach or should be banned from the league or just the craziest stuff. Anyway, now that that's out of the way, what did you think of Michael Irvin's comments about adding Belichick to the Lombardi Trophy? I know it will never happen, but I think he is deserving just because the league has such a better talent pool now. Any team can win on any given day. The free agency media these days, I don't know what media has to do with it. Personally, I think the idea at least deserves to be considered.
I think it's ridiculous.
I think it will be considered when he's not coaching anymore.
Why? I don't. It's the Lombardi Trophy.
No,
that's
I know
what it is.
I know, but changes have been made before to names of things, and I think
it's a terrible idea.
It might be a terrible idea, but I think it might be considered when he's no longer a
and
coach.
And why?
Why would they
can
be considered?
Chuck Noll considered? Why isn't Don Shula considered?
I would wonder why was it Vince Lombardi in the first place?
Because he won a lot.
So did a lot of other people.
Well, he won the first two Super Bowls. I
no,
guess.
I understood.
And
I
like
just,
five titles before that.
No,
didn't
no
he?
I know. I'm not saying that he's completely undeserving. I'm just saying, like, what separated him from other great coaches?
So who else
like,
should have been considered?
Because
at
I
the
think
time?
He won the
Paul
first
Brown?
Two.
He was the first.
But you're probably right, Fred. It's probably as simple as he won the first one, and that they just decided.
Yeah.
Did Paul Brown win as many championships? I mean, he's universally considered to have
Vince
done
Lombardi?
More.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he won like five in a row at one point. I mean, he won the
NFL
was in the AAFL, and everybody said that was a minor thing, and then he went to the NFL, and his first year in the NFL won it again.
Okay, so question, when did they actually name it the Lombardi Trophy? How soon after
That's
Super Bowl started?
That's another good question. And I wasn't suggesting, Andy, I don't want you to misunderstand.
Worthy.
I'm not suggesting that Vince Lombardi was undeserving. I have no idea. You know, who else was the candidate?
Well,
I'm just wondering.
Is,
it's you're probably right, Fred. It was probably because he won the first two,
right?
And they just said, "Well, we'll name this."
But
and then he died shortly thereafter.
Yeah, but if they named it like 4 years after the Super Bowl started, I think that was just too soon.
I agree.
Which is my problem
what I was getting
with all this stuff, all the halls of fames and naming things. They don't wait long enough to see what transpires after that,
and especially. Not that this is like going to happen, but like Joe Paterno. I mean, you have a major scandal with the guy that changes the whole outlook on what he is.
Let the whole thing play
itself out. And then if you decide Belichick was the greatest coach ever, you know, he's dead now. It's been 20. We got to change it.
That's a great analogy because can you imagine? Let's say that Paterno retired in, say, 2002. Okay. Do you think there's a chance that in 2012 something very significant in NCAA football could be named after him?
Sure.
Right now?
No,
then,
not now.
Oh, not right
now.
But
I'm saying, if he had retired
10 years later,
they might, you know, that BCS title trophy could be the Joe Paterno trophy.
Yeah. Right.
Or something of the like.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you sit there and you say, my God, who would ever name anything after Joe Paterno today?
Well, there was stuff at NCAA headquarters named after him, and as soon as all this came out, they had to change all the names of their rings and their buildings.
Was that
Hell's
my
Bells?
Microphone.
Yeah.
Hell's Bells.
We were sort of on target there. Lombardi won the first two Super Bowls, and then in 1970, he died suddenly of cancer, and the league decided to rename the trophy.
So 1970.
In memory
so it was a sympathy vote.
So right around the...
sort of on target or exactly right.
Yeah. So right when they merged the two leagues, too, so that came in.
I'm fine.
Yeah, and I don't... Yeah, I am, too. I didn't, like... I know that kind of went off a road. Like, I wasn't saying, well, geez, what's Lombardi ever done? He ran a power sweep. But I didn't mean that he didn't deserve to have the trophy named. I'm just looking at, like Belichick right now, to me, is, without question, the best coach of his era. But is he the only great coach of this era? Like, you know, like, we were joking off the air. Well, Tom Coughlin's won two Super Bowls over Bill Belichick. Should it be the Coughlin trophy?
And what if he wins another one? Now, I mean, just let it all play out and figure out later. Right. Don't be so quick to do stuff.
Right.
You know, and
I mean,
maybe,
is Don Shula on anything? Is he the Coach of the Year award?
I believe there's a Coach of the
He's
Year.
He's
the Shula award. I believe there is an award after
him. Yeah, because remember, he was at the Super Bowl this year. Remember when they gave out the Don Shula award?
Yeah, he didn't look too good either, remember?
Yes, I do remember. He had a friend with him. That was the coach's high school award, though, or something.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's a high school award.
Yeah,
it is a high school award.
It's not just a high school coach.
No, it was a high school award, though, because...
There's an NFL coach of the year.
Because we were talking. We had
Shula
a meeting
coach
here
of the year.
If we wanted to nominate somebody.
Right. So that's the Don Shula award for youth football.
But I wonder if... I wonder, you know, 15 years after Belichick retires, you might look back and say... Well, look at all the things that everybody does now.
Right.
You know, look at all the different guys playing roles on offense and defense. And look at all the, you know, the undrafted guys that look at all, you know, there might be a handful of things that, and then you look back and say, wow, Bill really was at the forefront of that change.
Yeah.
I'm just suggesting. I'm trying.
I still say you have Bill Walsh, you have Don Shula. It's the Lombardi Trophy. I'm sorry if they were a little quick with it, but. I'm not in favor.
I mean, now that it is.
Oh, I would. Yeah. I would not be in
Plus,
favor of changing
Paul,
it unless
it's known as
happened.
That. I mean, right. It's far more famous. You know, Stanley Cup is more famous, but it's more famous than we didn't even know for sure it was the O'Brien Trophy for the NBA.
But you didn't even think of the Stanley Cup as being named after somebody. It's
right.
The trophy, the Stanley Cup, and that's what I think people look at the Lombardi Trophy as.
That I was going to say.
That's the Super Bowl
it's
winning
the
trophy.
The Lombardi Trophy.
You don't think of it because that's Vince Lombardi. Everybody knows it's named after Vince Lombardi.
Right.
But
I don't want to change.
It's become synonymous with the trophy.
And
it's the trophy.
It's a visual. Like when you think Lombardi Trophy, you immediately know what you're seeing. Or when you see the trophy, you think Lombardi Trophy. Like it's got to stay. I'm sorry, Patriots.
Okay. Unless something were to happen, you know, really bad. That would cause you to take Lombardi's name off of it.
That ship's probably sailed.
Like we were saying, and at this point, I don't see how that could happen. I don't see any reason to change it.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Jeff in Vegas is on line one. Hey, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. Whatever Kevin Collins did, I'm sorry it happened because the audio is, I don't know what he did. It's awful. Anyway, regarding the Twitter, I don't think they can ever ban that because now the actual fans are tweeting so much, you can get like real time within every 30 seconds of what's happening now.
I know, and you're right. The Patriots' contention, the Patriots' media relations contention before this was, okay, fans can do whatever they want, but if you read a fan's tweet, you don't really kind of give it the same credibility
and I couldn't
as if
with
a media member tweets it out. Then you assume that it's true, even though it
Depending
may not be based on any more fact than what a fan does. But there's a difference between a fan tweet and a media tweet.
And even when Gronk went out with the cut on his chin over the weekend, same exact thing happened. I mean, these fans, you hear that he's out and then back on the field faster than, you know, Tom Curran or, you know, I know you guys, you have to watch it, but all the other so-called scribes. And props to Andy Hart yesterday on Twitter for calling out Adam Schefter. And then I think Mallett threw two picks, didn't he, last night? How did he look?
I don't know. I saw as much of last night's practice as Schefter did.
Yeah, I think that...
He wasn't great last night.
No, I was sick of it because it sucked.
One of the picks wasn't necessarily a bad throw. It was deflected, but he did not look... He looked indecisive again. Thought he had a hard time finding people to throw.
He didn't look like if somebody asked you to name the best young players this summer, you should start with Ryan Mallett. And that's where Adam Schefter was on SportsCenter.
And we all laughed.
And that leads me to believe he was told Schefter looks good or talked to somebody because I haven't seen Schefter here.
I would hope that he was told by somebody within the Patriots organization.
Yeah.
But why are they telling him that? If he went on the air to say that.
So now he's just carrying their water?
But I'm just saying, no, I don't think it.
I mean, how different is that than Michael Lombardi saying, if I had to start a team with a quarterback, I'd take Brian Hoyer? I mean, what are you basing that on?
No, I wouldn't take
Bill
take Schefter off the hook for that, but I just hope it was at least somebody that, you know, is in the know, as opposed to if he talked to someone, you know, talked to Paul Perillo. Yeah, Ryan Mallett looks good.
As a reporter to sift through some crap sometimes?
Yep.
Yeah. And say, why are you telling me that? Is it true?
Not anymore.
You know, maybe they're just trying to pump him up and trade him.
Right?
Who knows?
Right.
All I base it on is what I see out there, and I have not been ready to rave.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen Schefter called out that often, if ever. So leave it to Andy Hart.
Making friends every day.
That's what he does.
A programming note, I believe there's no PFW in progress next week because there will be the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social.
Well, certainly on Thursday, that's the case, August 9th. We'll have our first pregame social of the new season.
Yeah, and Tuesday we have to preview the Saints practice on PFW in progress.
Yeah, and speaking of the Saints, I'll give a special prize.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Very early, if anyone could come within 5 points of the spread for next Thursday's game, New Orleans at New England.
There's a spread for a preseason game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Sure.
Pats by 6.5.
Anyone else?
I couldn't care less about preseason
Patriots
game spreads.
Patriots by 8.
No, I don't.
I'll say Patriots by 5.
Trick question here, all wrong. It's actually off the board.
No, I know it's
New
off
Orleans
the board.
Is playing
but
in the Hall of Fame game Sunday night, so it's not on the board yet. It won't be until after that game.
I thought we were supposed to guess.
Yeah. No, blow them up.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jeff.
What was that?
Vegas.
The whoopee cushion.
No, it's supposed to be the explosion sound.
Brian writes in about the CSNNE vote, which you guys are still winning by a lot. Thank you, everyone.
For now.
Yes,
yeah,
thank you.
That,
thank you very much.
New guy.
The
really
power of PFW.
However, Brian says the fix is in.
No question.
As of this morning, they removed the percentages next to each person's name in the brackets. Last I saw, you were both at 80-plus percent plus 10-plus percent versus 10-plus percent. So if you are declared losers in this round, it's an obvious fix.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Either way, we know what the real outcome would have been. You've simply got vastly more supporters than all of those clowns put together.
And we have you guys to thank for that.
Yes. So is that true, Darren, the intern? Are you looking that up?
I'm on it right now. Yeah.
Okay, look that up. Let's
who's
see
the
if
emailer
there's some hijinks again going on over there.
Who's our emailer, Freddie?
Brian in Essex.
Brian, thank you very much for that. Andy and I appreciate it. We were both on the show this week. And,
did they take the whole grid off?
You haven't been on the show this weekend?
I'm on again tonight, live, 6:30 from Gillette Stadium's practice fields.
Excellent.
Well, I was talking to Tom Curran last night, and I said, yeah, that'll get fixed. The fact that he goes, yeah, it will. They just won't get invited back. So
what is that?
So now we're getting petty.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, we beat you.
He accused us of gaming,
but how does that explain
gaming the contest?
Mm.
Yeah, we're not even the
they're
one.
They're gone.
Yep, no percentages. On either
and
side.
I was on the other night, and they recapped the results.
That's
from round two.
Fix.
Andy beat Ian Thompson in round two, and I beat Michael Holly in round two. They called it a huge upset, me over Holly. So I said, why is it an upset? I mean, people just voting for who they want. Well, you know, how are you getting all these votes? And I said, the people's choice.
Right.
People have spoken. It's PFW. It's Andy and Paul.
Right.
That's Bush.
I said, you guys like to call everybody negative. It's not negative. It's objective. And I pointed to Felger. I said, you think you're objective, but really you're just a contrarian.
Right.
I can't believe they did that. I'm embarrassed for them. That's an embarrassment.
Now,
what
the fans should do is email CSNNE, comment, you know, the feedback email.
Or call them.
Or call them and say, what happened to the percentages? If Andy and Paul lose, we know that you fixed it.
And we're never going to watch your station again.
And I also added in that I know you guys will fix that in the next round because there's no way you're going to let Andy and I beat Tanguay and Felger.
That's an embarrassment.
So I knew the fix was going to be in. I told you guys when I came in on Wednesday that the fix would
be
in.
And just in case there's somebody from CSNNE listening, we're not hacking into your website or doing anything like that.
We promoted it. All we did was promote it.
Absolutely. We're just doing the same thing you're doing. Go vote.
Right. They did it the other night when I was on at the end of a little segment.
Right.
You know, going on now, the voting, get over there. We got, you know, so-and-so versus so-and-so. That's all we did.
Right.
Just because they vote for us, just because they like us more than you, it's not our fault.
I mean, you know, and a little advice. If you're going to have a personality contest and your main guy is supposed to be a jerk, you probably don't want to enter him into said contest. Because, you know, he's going to lose.
Wait, what?
Well, I mean, no, Felger does a good job at being the hated guy.
So you probably don't
want to put him into a personality contest.
It is.
You know?
No, it's an embarrassment. I think this is an embarrassment for them that they had to take the percentages down because we were beating them so badly. And if they say
it's not
going
to be as embarrassing as when we lose this one, and then you and I take to Twitter and start calling them out.
Yeah, we'll see.
I still want to be on the show.
Yeah, we're not going to take to Twitter.
Don't really want to. You don't want to.
You know,
like,
it's one thing to talk a good game, but when money's involved,
you really are an unbelievable fraud.
I have a family to look out for. I don't know if you know.
We
make decent money on the show.
I mean, if I were them, you know, you can't beat them, join them. I'd hire you to.
Yeah. What would happen?
I'll
tell you what would happen. They'd make sure we don't beat them.
They couldn't afford me.
Brian also says, I hear Chandler Jones is showing much more ability than we would have thought from a first-year rookie. Sure, it's hard to tell from non-game practices, but the thing I've heard thus far is encouraging. He's showing many moves that have left Solder scratching his head. And let me preface this question with, yes, I know rankings are meaningless, but I'd like to hear your take on this. I've seen a couple power rankings so far this year that have the Packers in front and the Patriots in second, Giants in third. And while I don't really place much credence in these, I have a question about how they're calculated. It seems that they go more by last season's performance and not by how the offseason went. So my question is, forgetting completely about last season's record, how did the Packers and Patriots offseason draft free agency look? If given the choice, which would you consider the more daunting team? Thanks, guys. Great work, and can't wait for this offensive juggernaut to start rolling.
Darren, give me a list of Packers offseason moves.
Yeah, I don't know what the I don't know all the free agent acquisitions for every team.
The only one I can think of is Jeff Saturday.
Go to I wouldn't do that.
But I'll be honest with you. If you ask me to ignore last season totally,
you can
I'd be scared about this defense still. You know, you'd actually lose some goodwill that maybe you picked up late in the year. Would they got better? They got more competitive. I'm scared to death of this defense still.
And you'd wonder, can they just outscore everybody?
Right.
Now, we know they can.
Because
we just watched the last two seasons.
And I think they'd be better because, you know, Brandon Lloyd, and I'd still look at those moves as upgrades. But you have to be careful with ignore last season because it goes both ways.
You can't ignore the last season because that's, I mean, that's like saying, okay, I'm going to take Tom Brady out of the equation. I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers out of the equation. I have to go into this season not knowing what they're going to do.
Well,
you can't do that. You know what they're going to do.
It's also, you know, if you think Mario Williams was the best player available, so the Bills are the best team now because they had the best offseason addition, right?
But you can't take last year into consideration.
No, that's what I mean.
So or you don't know what Mario Williams
think,
is.
If you think Andrew Luck is the best player available and that team had a crappy quarterback, they added a good quarterback, you think the Colts are the best team in football because they upgraded that position more than anybody else?
Speaking of Andrew Luck and RG3, who do you think will have the better year, better rookie season?
I was going to say probably Griffin only because he has
better
maybe a better team around him. Right now.
I just think Luck is solid, and solid is solid.
I think Luck is, that's a great Andyism, but I think Luck is more NFL ready. I think he's more traditional. That might just be because that traditional sort of, he's very athletic.
Yeah, but sometimes athletic is more NFL ready, whereas traditional wins long term.
Well, that certainly was the case last year.
Yeah, I think long term Luck will have probably the better career, but I think initially Griffin might have the better
I almost have
season.
No doubt at all that I think Luck will have the better career.
I'm hindered a little bit because I just read this morning that they're really criticizing RG3 for taking a lot of sacks and holding on to the football and having trouble reading.
I wonder if they're telling him, do not run. And Pratt, we want you to make your progressions and sit there and find somebody.
Could be.
You know, and there's plays that he probably would have tucked and ran. I'm going to go with Luck because I think he's a little bit better. I just think he's better.
That's
but
good,
I,
Paul.
But I do understand the point about, you know, Colts are certainly coming from further back than the Redskins are.
You got off-season Packers moves over there?
Yep. They signed Jeff Saturday. That's pretty much the biggest move.
So I was right.
They didn't really do anything major.
Who'd they draft?
They drafted
pass rusher?
They went defense, right?
They went Jarrell Worthy.
Paul likes him.
I do like him.
I don't.
Jarrell Worthy?
I'm aware of that.
It sounds terrible.
And I can't keep your button on him. And just keep it on.
And I'm assuming that the first time that he doesn't do anything, you know, you'll tell me about it. You know, ignoring all the various guys that you have fallen in.
Well, I did want to point out one of the polls that he mentioned. I'm assuming is the new AP poll, the AP NFL Pro 32 or whatever it's called. It's a 12-man panel. Chris Berman, Alex Marvez, One of them, maybe that Glauber guy.
Glauber.
But it's 12 guys, and they just, they add it up, and they do the points. And
he's a good guy, by the way.
Glauber?
Yes, he's a really nice guy.
I always thought it was Glauber, and then I heard him say it once, and he said Glauber.
Glauber. I'm not sure he went,
Glauber. But the Patriots got two first place votes. The Giants and Packers each got five, but the Patriots finished second in overall votes because nobody ranked the Patriots lower than third. Blah, blah, blah. It's a point system. But, yeah, the pack, it went Packers 375, then 369 Patriots, 362 Giants.
Yep.
But it's going to be a new thing. It's a weekly. You know, you have the AP college poll for baseball, or I mean for football, basketball. Now there's an AP NFL poll.
Now, will you be bringing back the Wilson Hart?
Of course, after four games.
Any refinements?
We're discussing some changes. We've looked into some things, but I'm feeling pretty comfortable about what it was last year.
We're going to try to get the non-playoff teams out of the top five.
Oh, well, that's a good one.
Just
it's funny because you're fat.
He just can't
take
handle it.
Yeah.
He cannot handle it.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Russ in Westfield. Hey, Russ.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. I heard on a ESPN report they're talking about, of course, I'm just getting bored here, but talking about the backup quarterback, Ryan Mallett, that they were very, very impressed with him. I guess he's coming around. Jaworski said something about him. So I just wanted your guys' opinion of what you thought or if you even noticed that at all.
Yeah, we have been talking about it. We don't know where this is coming from. Neither Jaworski or Adam Schefter, who's another guy that said that Mallett's been really coming on, have been at practice. So they haven't seen them with their own two eyes. We assume that they're talking to people who have been at practice, but we've been watching him too, and he looks no much, maybe a little bit better than last year, but not much. That
he
we can,
certainly has not been.
Yeah, in other words,
a guy that jumps out at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and there's
wow.
we can't tell yet. Now, after August 9th, if he's in, you know, in the second half and plays the second half, we'll have more evidence to go on. But right now, there's no reason to say, wow, this guy's made a real leap.
And we discussed, that would seem that somebody must have told them that Mallett's had a great offseason, he's picked up the offense, blah, blah, blah. And that may be a good thing. That may be an honest assessment from Josh McDaniels, his quarterback's coach, this summer.
Could be.
We haven't seen it play out on the practice field, these eight eyes.
Yeah, I thought
hey,
that.
And one other quick thing is Spikes. Any update on Spikes? A little tweaking of his knee.
No, we'll find out today when we go out there. He did return to practice last night, though, so
right. That
was a good sign. He didn't do a whole lot when he came back, but we'll see today. We're going to go out there, Russ. Hopefully he'll be in uniform, and we'll see if he's able to not only be in uniform but take part in practice the way he did on Tuesday and Wednesday before he left.
And thanks for the call, Russ. I think the very fact that he came back out and they put him in another play, if he had really been hurt, they wouldn't have done that. That would be really stupid.
No, but there's a lot to wonder about here. We've talked about it. His whole thing is he has to prove he can stay healthy, be reliable. He starts camp on PUP, then he's not on PUP, but he's not on the field either. And then he's on the field, but he's limping, and then he's on the field and he's fighting, and then he has to leave the field. And it's just like a continuation.
Oh, yeah.
It's frustrating.
Just go out there and practice.
It's frustrating
to
watch.
And I'm not sure he wouldn't say, just put a brace on it. I got to get back out there. You know, he might be chomping at the bit to get – champing or chomping?
Champing.
Champing.
Chomping?
I thought it was champing.
I'm going chomping.
I thought it was champion.
Karaoke?
I saw Paul. Did you intentionally write karaoke on the CA? He wrote it on the web, and I was like, he did that on purpose.
Darren and
I spelled it out for him.
Darren and I had a chuckle. I said, give me the spelling.
But I think, I mean, there's
no squiggles,
an issue there
by the
for
way.
Him that
but the,
be out there.
But
he might have said
player,
I need to be out there.
A player doesn't make that final decision.
You have say. You have say.
Well, if you're Tom Brady, maybe you have
every
say.
Every player has some say. Yeah, I mean, because it's clear he's not injured. He didn't tear his ACL. Yes, if he tore his ACL, he can't say, I want to go out there. But if something's tweaked or hurt, he has the ability, I can't go or I can go.
And I had mentioned to you, I
know he can say that, but the doctor
will listen. As long as he's not injured, completely injured.
Right, that's the
and it's clear he
thing.
Wasn't injured. He was hurt. And he said, I got to get out there.
And I actually, I mentioned to you, and we talked about it, I thought there was a little bit of, you know, for show. Going on.
Faux
like
show.
He comes back out there. He's okay, everybody. He's okay, everybody. But I agree with Fred. He did take part in one full squad rep when he came back out there. I don't think they would have done that
also,
had he been really injured.
One thing that we forgot to mention, remember when he first came out, he immediately went into the drill, and they said, no, and they pulled him back. So he intended to jump right back in,
and they took him out and they put in Fletcher.
But again, I think that could be a coaching thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just show up and get to the front of the line in this drill.
Okay, no.
We don't just play ball when you want to play ball.
No, but
get
I'm
the hell out.
That's what happened. I'm
reporting. But it might not be health related.
Now you can interpret it.
That might be.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't the way it works. When you show up, God forbid, okay, God's gift to linebackers here, we're going to play.
No, okay.
You get in line and come out when
but
you're
his intention,
like Andy Hart at Tufts.
But his intention when he ran out was to get right back into it. That's,
right.
That's all that showed.
And they showed, well, you know, no.
But no, I think I said that, Andy.
I had my SECD for one day the other day and a little bit of yesterday, and now it's gone. I want my SECD.
SECD?
That's what ASAP. I'm calling it. ASAP. PDQ.
Christian's on the other line. Hey, Christian.
PTP,
what's going on?
Baby.
Let's go. Temple in and out of the huddle.
Oh, we have the podcast we have to do? Oh, man.
Supposed to be hot. Great job, guys, as usual. Love it. Brad, you're rich. Any guy who goes up to get a lesson just because he wants to is rich.
I didn't hear a word he said.
Brad, you're rich. Any guy just goes out to get a Lexus just because he wants to, he's rich.
I leased it.
Right.
Well, that's okay. I leased my caddy. People think I have money. Anyway. that whole Comcast SportsNet thing, they really took the percentages down?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Oh, that's so bogus.
Frauds.
It's bogus.
That's an embarrassment to them.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe
actually.
They're frauds, so according to Bob Glauber.
Yeah, I think the fans should speak out.
Yeah.
I will.
Stop watching
I'll send an email.
Maybe call them.
Call them, tell them you're not going to watch them anymore.
You talked about the Lombardi Trophy, and I agree with you. I think it should just stay that name. It shouldn't be the Lombardi Belichick. Just because, like Andy said, you see it and you associate Lombardi with it. And that's what it is. And
I just
there's a Pats fan who wouldn't love to see Belichick's name on that trophy.
I wonder, though, why they haven't named the Coach of the Year or any of the other awards.
Maybe they're saving it for Belichick.
Well, but, I mean, you would think, like, a guy like Paul Brown might have been deserving of a Coach of the Year title designation, you know, or, you know, any one of any of the positions where
Shula.
There's a player. Yeah, Shula could have been one.
I mean, he's got the most wins. Isn't that a coach's job to win games?
Just surprising that they didn't name anything else after a former player or coach.
Well, I think you have to, and maybe Belichick will get that, but that's why I don't like things too quickly. I mean, Belichick, if he wins five more, did you guys hear that, or was that just?
I heard you drop out. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's better.
We actually have a real live engineer in-house, so
all right.
We might be getting to the bottom of the problems. Hi, Dougie.
Does that mean I can leave my mic on?
Do the Dougie.
I don't know. It still doesn't sound great to me.
It doesn't sound that bad.
All right.
You can leave it.
This is a good radio.
Time for
carry on. Carry on.
Is it time for a break?
No. Until the lunch arrives.
Well, we're waiting for food.
Guys, no break. I'm on the phone.
Go ahead, Christian.
Yeah, that's right. No break. I'm on the phone. Quick question. How bad has Copen looked?
He's struggled.
A little bit, yeah. I think
if you read all these things, Greg Bidot has him like 0-for-7 in drills, whatever that. Like he's up 8-7 times. I don't know. But
I would caution a little bit about that kind of stuff. But he has. Listen, he was with the second group last night. You know, Wendell was taking the first run with the center. And Dan, the fact that Dan Conley wasn't out there and that was still a day that they chose to put him with the second group was somewhat telling.
But we talked about it entering camp. If he's not your starting center, if he's not clearly your starting center, there's not a spot for him on this team.
I believe he was my choice for surprise.
Yeah, and because he has no versatility.
Yeah, he seems to be, when guys decide they want to use power, he seems to be getting pushed back a little bit.
And we've always seen that. Yeah. He's had one or two games a year where he gets absolutely killed by somebody.
And he might be one of those guys, too,
Chris
that the individual drills aren't his forte.
Well, they definitely aren't.
Because of the things that you just talked about, and he might look better blocking the same guy that he lost to in an a one-on-one. He might look better with all 11 out there because he's using different techniques or leverages or whatever. He knows where his help is coming from. He's a smarter guy. He's an athletic guy. He's more of an athlete than a power guy. We know that. He's always been that.
Right.
But all that said, Christian, you're right. He hasn't looked very good, and Kyle Love absolutely destroyed him on a one-on-one last night. Left him standing still. Remember that play?
Well, the head slap. Well, it wasn't really to the head, but
no, it was like it was the motion
head
like
slap.
A head slap.
It looked like a head slap.
But all it served as was a swatting like a bug to the side. Copen was left standing still, and Love. It was one of those Copen turnarounds. Say, hey, Tom, look out.
Yep. Hmm. So, all right, Christian.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in. Dan writes in, had a couple camp-related questions. First off, how much longer will camp be open to the public?
as I'm finding it hard to secure a day to come up.
A little bit.
Also, I was wondering if Hightower is actually impressing as much as some various outlets suggest. I figured you guys would be the best option for an objective analysis. Finally, is the rule that you can't refer to player groups as the ones a team-specific thing? Because the cardboard cutouts on NFL Network say it all the time when they're not talking about Peyton Manning or backup quarterbacks in New York.
Yes, that is a team thing. When they send out these media schedule, they have some team reporting policies, and one of them is to not report starters, quote-unquote, in first team.
Even though anybody who watches football can figure it out for themselves.
Right.
Anyway, so that's that. And also,
no, Hightower has not been as good as he's portrayed, which is always the case when people get excited. But he's been very good.
And he's out there.
He's not been bad.
No,
he's not been
great.
He's been he's been there.
Don't read my commentary.
Well, but that's what you're supposed to do. You're fluffing it up. You're PFW. But he hasn't been Dick Butkus or all over the field making every play.
But he hasn't looked lost.
No, he's looked good. Mm. And I told Paul, you know, he had a couple run blitzes where he just attacks the line of scrimmage, and he's got that spikes thing where he's just going to hit somebody. It might be the ball carrier. It might be the right tackle. It might be the fullback. He's hitting somebody.
Yeah, there was a play,
I like that. Blow it up.
There was a play last night that he – it was like one of those three-man line jobs. It was like three blockers, four defenders, and he came for an off-tackle run and plugged the hole, and all of a sudden everything just stopped. Like, he came into the line. There were two guys trying to block, and the running back – I think it was Bolden on the play, just went bang and had nowhere to go. Obviously, you can't bounce it around when you're only having three blockers
right.
and four defenders. You don't, you know, reverse field and go to run to daylight because it's kind of defeating the purpose of the drill. The idea is to make a hole and get through it. There was no hole because Hightower made sure there wasn't.
Cliff and Craig from the Cape write in. He said, third and one on the goal line. Who gets the ball? Any news of bringing in any other backs?
No news.
I got to think Ridley. Gets the ball if they run the ball.
Third and one, yeah.
And you know the first time they do, though, everybody will be, is he going to hold on to it? Is he going to hold on to it? Well, can he do it?
I'll tell you the other thing.
I'm more worried that he's going to turn his back than fumble.
The overrated thing.
We haven't seen that, though.
There's always something that gets blown out of proportion, and that will be one of the things. On third and one, the first time it's third and one, and you know Brady sticks it in Ridley's stomach and takes it out and throws the ball to Hernandez for the first down, well, that's what they have to do now because you know Benny's not here anymore, whereas – that's kind of what we do anyway. We throw the ball a lot on third and shorts. It's probably something they want to get away from. They probably want to run the ball a little bit more, despite the fact that they really don't have a guy proven in that role. I think I'm kind of buying into the Josh McDaniels wants to run the ball a little bit more thing that Andy talked about a couple of weeks ago. I don't think they're going to run it a tremendous amount more attempts, but I do think late in games, rather than throwing the ball to run the clock out the way we have the last couple of years, I think you'll see more four-minute offense.
Speaking of Josh McDaniels, did you read Bedard's piece today about how the Patriots seem to have teed it up for McDaniels like they never did for Bill O'Brien?
What does that mean?
Both years, in 07 and this year, just bringing in all the talent so that he can do whatever he wants. You know, like this year, bringing in fullbacks, bringing in Brandon Lloyd, bringing in you know, Stallworth and Gaffney, just whatever Josh wants, Josh gets. He's surprised that they don't drive him here in a limousine.
He wrote that?
Yeah. I think he was kidding about that part, but, you know.
Well, it has some tone to it, though.
Yeah. You guys don't read what other people write?
I do sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you think people read what we write? They're the media
guys? I hope so.
The other media guys.
The hell are we doing?
The other media guys.
Yes, absolutely.
I think you're wrong.
Oh, I know they do, Paul. Absolutely, they read everything that each other writes. At least they get the tone of it. You know?
I think you check in, if you're a media guy, you check in to see if there's a story that you missed.
Yeah, you skim a headline.
News.
It's not a story you missed.
You know,
exactly.
Tom Curran had Brandon Lloyd out for 3 weeks. Mm. I got to play catch up. That's what I think they read in terms of each other. Yeah. A feature on Josh McDaniels, I'm guessing, probably at this time of year, kind of goes under the rug.
Well, check it out.
Out.
Terry wants to know if there will be a curse words for the Saints game on Thursday. Yes, there will. Got to get back into.
You got to get in shape.
You got to
right
get
now.
Into rhythm with that. That's really hard.
I don't think he has enough time to get in shape
to do that.
Typing shape.
What? Yeah,
it's tough in a week.
It's difficult. So I have to get back into game shape. So that's what you use the preseason for.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do we have? Something about Brandon Spike's Twitter account.
person's writing in, Eddie, is there anything Brandon Spikes' last tweet that was tweeted out 4 hours ago? Is this due to last night's scuffle?
What it say?
But I don't know what the tweet says.
Yeah, help us out
right now.
He's got a He's got an image here. The last tweet he has. You may believe that you're building your future on a solid something. I don't know. I don't know if that's the last, or maybe the last. I don't know if this is descending order or what, but maybe the last one was caps lock because it's time to unleash the fury. Maybe that's his last tweet, and it's all in caps. Caps lock because it's time to unleash the fury. Grr. So I don't know if that has anything to do with last night. Not sure. Everybody seems stunned here.
Yeah. No, we're just trying to find it for ourselves, too, yeah.
Is that his last tweet?
It's a recent one.
One of his
about
last
5
tweets.
Hours ago, it says.
Yeah, it said, time to unleash the fury.
He's got a lot of weird tweets after that.
I'm the cream of this planet Earth.
Yeah. Nor would I read anything into that.
I don't know.
I mean, I think he's an interesting dude, and he has some very out there tweets all the time. I kind of don't worry about what he does on Twitter as much as I do if he's on the field. When he's on the field, I think he is a good football player.
Okay. Let's see. Bill writes in Burlington. He says, what's up with CSN and E's Uno's vote not showing the current percentage in open brackets? I smell a scam in the making. Last I checked, Andy was up 86-14. Paul was up 85-15. Also, I was stuck in traffic for 2 hours yesterday trying to get to Gillette and arrived around 7:15. That sucked. Yeah. Why not have the season ticket holder practice on a weekend? We always get the shaft.
That's going to be a hard sell for people
Patriot
who don't have
season
tickets.
Patriot season always get the shaft.
Yeah.
Well, also,
<That's>,
yeah. Then if you,
it's a hard sell.
If you do it on the weekend, then you're giving the shaft to everybody else who's not a season ticket holder. They can't go. So you want to leave the weekends open for the general public.
I just thought of this. They can't fix that poll. Because aren't they giving out prizes? Like, because it tells you if you had the right pick or the wrong pick in the previous round. Because it there's a contest aspect to it.
I thought that isn't that just a random drawing part of it?
I don't think so.
Maybe they stop after the
and if
preliminary
if they're
round,
fixing something that has prizes, I believe that's illegal.
Well, that's a good point.
So who's our attorney general? Who do I need to contact? This contest isn't on the up and up.
Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Who do you have?
Oh. It's a woman, I think.
I forget.
Didn't she run for Coakley?
Martha Coakley?
Is she still the
AG? She used to be.
Yeah.
We're terrible.
Josh writes in.
Who the hell's the governor?
Long-time listener. I also listen to a lot of EEI broadcasts. I've been a Patriots fan for a long time. My dad always used to take me to America to see the Patriots games whenever he could. The last time I got to see a game at Gillette Stadium was 2010 against the Vikings. I've also got tickets this year for the Wembley game, which I'm pretty damn excited about. What I wanted to ask about was, do you think that Welker's position is worse than Beckett's with the Red Sox? Bearing in mind either player may not be back with their team next year and that they may not be as important to another team. Well, certainly from a PR standpoint, it's not even comparable.
I don't really even understand the comparison.
Price.
It's also not comparable from a financial standpoint because in 1 year, Beckett makes what
Wes
made in his 5 previous years here catching 5.
And it's not comparable from a performance standpoint.
But Beckett, I also don't understand why Beckett wouldn't be valuable to – why is he more valuable to the Red Sox than anybody else? I don't get that at all.
Right.
I can understand the theory. I don't necessarily believe it.
Yeah.
But I understand the theory with Welker being more valuable because of Brady.
Right.
But there are other teams that have competent quarterbacks, maybe not as good as Brady, but that could, you know, make him a productive member
Plus,
of the offense.
Nobody dislikes Wes for anything other than his financial demands. Yeah. The team doesn't agree with what he wants for money, clearly.
Right.
But other than that, they love everything about
him. Yeah, Beckett's a whole nother story. He's already getting the money.
Right.
Beckett is considered a malingerer. He doesn't want to play. He's not in shape. Doesn't want to do what he has to do. He's sort of giving an FU to everybody on the Red Sox and their fans. Wes is totally the opposite.
Yeah.
All right, food's here finally. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're here until 1 o'clock.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay.
along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone.
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals?
Oh. Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member of DIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing? Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I don't know about those before.
She works hard for her money on the radio.
Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
Patched.
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We are here until 1 o'clock taking your phone calls at 508-298-0398 and your emails at webradio@patriots.com.
Fred can't burp, check his phone, and run a radio show at the same time.
You have to, now you can keep your button on.
I have a lot of technology that I'm getting used to over here.
Yeah.
My talkback button, cough button. Headsets being...
Yeah, I don't know why they placed that over there.
Sounds good now, though.
Yeah.
I think everything is...
Sounds good.
Is your mic on?
Yeah, it's on now.
Okay,
mine's
so,
really good.
So we're good now.
Phew.
Good.
Well, hopefully. Tell us if we still suck, but I'm hoping it sounds better now.
Ethan writes in, just got my latest issue of PFW and wanted to give a thumbs up on the training camp coverage. Even the intern had a very nicely written piece.
Thank you.
Good, Darren.
Yeah.
Did any of you read the Greg Bedard article this morning? We just mentioned this. This is amazing. He seems to have a massive chip on his shoulder when it comes to McDaniels. Do you guys agree with his position that management, meaning Bill Belichick, is far and away more supportive of McDaniels than O'Brien? And just to confirm, I have been voting early and often in the Uno Sports Tonight MVP voting.
Well, sorry. I don't think it matters anymore. The fix is in.
But, what? You guys need to read this piece now.
Don't tell anybody not to, to stop voting, though. Keep voting.
Keep voting.
Make it more of a laughing stock than it is.
And the only question is, do I mention it at 6:30 tonight when I'm on?
Well, this is a major scandal.
I think it is. I mean, nothing's happened yet. We can let it play out.
It does seem dubious, though.
Something stinks. Yeah. Yes, there's no doubt something stinks. Our old-fashioned sniff test, woo, the sniff meter is just ringing a bell.
Yep.
But, I do need to read that story to get the details of it. But, I mean, there's also something to be said for he's loading up Tom Brady. Like, I'm not going to waste Tom Brady. You know, all we said was in 06, they wasted a year of Brady giving him no weapons. So giving weapons to Josh McDaniels is also giving weapons to your Hall of Fame quarterback who you think can carry you to the promised land.
I mean, there is such a thing as coincidence and, you know, perfect storm type of stuff. And let's face it, like you just mentioned, 06, they came off with obviously not being happy with that wide receiver position. They upgraded it. This year, they came off not winning a Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, McDaniels was available. It's not like they went and grabbed him and stole him from another team.
No, but
he was available. Bill O'Brien was going to Penn State. So it was kind of a perfect storm.
Well, but what Greg is arguing is that they load up for McDaniels. They give him his weapons.
It's my thing McDonald's, is, well, not
do you actually think they would not have signed an outside receiver if Bill O'Brien was still the offensive
coordinator? Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Might not have been Lloyd, because Lloyd was going anywhere that McDaniels took
him. Let's just go back a year. They brought in a high-profile outside receiver. It didn't work. I mean, if Brandon Lloyd does what Chad Johnson did, are we going to say, well, Bill just fell all over himself to load up Josh McDaniels?
Right.
And he no. I mean, I don't think – I agree with Fred. I don't think they're necessarily cause and effect here. I think it's more of a – you know, guys become available and we sign them. And – this season, clearly, they wanted to get better outside the numbers. Well, I think they wanted to get better outside the numbers last season, too. They just didn't. And they brought in three guys this year instead of just one. I mean, I understand that. But I think very highly of Josh McDaniels. I think Belichick does, too. But I don't think that they didn't think highly of Bill O'Brien. I think that they felt like he was a very solid offensive coordinator. And I don't think that they, you know, tied his hands in any way, do you?
No.
No, and they brought in Joey Galloway under him, too, right?
Right.
Was that under O'Brien?
That was 09, right?
Yes, was under O'Brien. You're right.
I don't see him. I mean, I think, theoretically, Ocho Cinco is better than Lloyd, who
Torrey
they brought
Holt
in last year.
Too.
And then, to me, a guy like Joey Galloway is the same as Dante Stallworth. More proven, more long. Yeah, I don't buy the whole premise of the article. I don't agree with his premise.
Yeah, I don't either. And, I think if anything, they focus more on defense. I mean, the first two draft picks of the first round were defense. So if you were going to load up, you know, on offense, wouldn't you do that? You know, so this is the kind of article that I think, you know, a coach will read and be like, really shake his head at. You know, because
I think Greg is 0-1-0 on this article.
Yeah, I think he's trying to make some waves here where there's no water. You know, this. It's just circumstantial and coincidental about McDaniels and these guys that they brought in. It wasn't because of McDaniels. You know, now, did McDaniels, maybe did he give them a good reference for Brandon Lloyd? Probably. You know, probably. But didn't they have interest in Brandon Lloyd before McDaniels? Wasn't he talked about?
Yeah, there was talk of trading for him last year.
Right.
And they didn't when it reached contract, right? Wasn't that the thing? Or is that somebody else?
No, I think you're right.
Stories?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So it's not because of McDaniels, in my
opinion.
And
that was before McDaniels, obviously, was in a position where he would be coming back.
Right.
Because that was at the trading deadline. Last year, he was available from Denver.
Right.
And he ended up going to St. Louis to rejoin Josh in
St.
Louis.
Was all planned already to help out Josh McDaniels.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'll look at the story because Fred told me to. I do everything that Fred tells me to do, as you guys all know.
Tells you to be here at 9 in the morning.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. And I'll go back to my in my interview 13 years ago to prove
that.
Well,
he makes a lot of promises.
He never
told
me.
He doesn't follow through with.
But anyway, it does seem to me a bit, to be a little strange to try to make the assertion that they give Josh whatever he wants and they didn't give Bill anything.
Right.
I don't.
By the way, the
cookies really
are hot and soft.
Way.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I like it.
Chewy. So
he's a man of few words.
So we like Greg Bedard. Greg Bedard does some interesting things. He pays attention to the details. But I think this one he's kind of making something out of nothing.
We all swing and miss all the time. To me, there's shame in when you try to be analytical and look outside the box and look beyond. Sometimes you miss. It happens. He missed on this one. He'll do fine on the next one.
Okay. Thanks, Coach. Mike in Paris, California. Just heard your last podcast, and I love the new girl. She sounds hot, and her accent is sexy. So,
well, you don't have to go by sound. Her job is as the video host of – it's on the website like 5 times already, 10 times already. Go check her out, literally.
Okay. I have to get mad at him.
Well, why would you say she sounds hot? Go actually look at her and see if she's hot. It's on the same exact website you said she sounded hot on.
Maybe he downloads us from podcast. iTunes. Yeah.
Well, either way, he's on a computer. Go look at her. Check her out.
Okay, the better way, it's a tonality thing. The better way of doing it is to say, hey, and you know what? You can check her out on Patriots Today. You can actually see what she looks like. End of story. You don't have to insult the guy.
You just summed up Andy's whole professional career.
Life.
It's a tonality issue. Right. Everything with him.
Let's see. Who else do we have here? Mark in Cheddar. Hey, guys in the Hall of Famer. With Silvestro now becoming a tight end, does this explain why he was called up for the Super Bowl and not used? Was it a cover for Gronk? Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Silvestro at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I don't think he had practiced tight end at that point. That we know of.
That we know of.
We didn't know then.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But he did the whole year. We know that now. So Mark's point might be valid.
I'm disappointed with Mrs. Draft.
I find it hard to believe they were going to put Silvestro on the field at tight end in any sort of an injury. I mean, he was beyond insurance policy. He was no chance.
I'm disappointed with Mrs. Draft. Both Andy and the Hall of Famer mentioned the attire of Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator, New England Patriots. Why doesn't Eric?
Sorry. I'll try to do that from now on.
I dropped the ball last night.
Our first day since spring with an update that didn't involve socks?
Oh, no, Eric didn't do it over the weekend either, on Saturday.
No one reads his stuff.
Oh, that's a good point.
I have a game for you. During the draft, everyone used the term ceiling and floor when talking about prospects, such as
everyone?
Especially Andy.
Such as RG3 has a higher ceiling than Luck, but a much lower floor. So in the same spirit, I will give two names. Who has the highest ceiling? Who has the lowest floor? My example being Mayo or Spikes. Spikes has the lowest floor, but Spikes also has the highest ceiling. So Mayo or Spikes?
What he said.
Do you agree with that?
I think Spikes has a higher ceiling as a playmaker.
Okay.
And he has a lower floor as a DNP-er.
Gaffney or Stallworth?
Stallworth. And now we're talking about like right now as what they can be for the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. I think Gaffney has a higher ceiling.
Gaffney has a higher ceiling.
Stallworth has a lower floor.
Okay. McCourty or Dowling?
McCourty has a higher ceiling, I think, only because he's gotten to a Pro Bowl. And we know he can do that.
Well, but we don't know that. I would say Dowling has a higher ceiling as a big corner, because if you can be a great big corner, you're the toughest thing to come by in the NFL, or one of the quarterback, big corner. So I think Dowling has the higher ceiling and the lower floor as a DNP-er.
Chandler Jones or Hightower?
Jones has the higher ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That edge, I mean,
because of the position.
Defensive player of the year candidate. I mean,
and I think that he also has the lower floor.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I think Hightower will play for this team for the next 4 or 5 years.
And he'll get his tackles.
I think there's anytime those edge rusher guys, you could be
disappear.
A bust. Yeah.
Right. Hoyer or Mallett?
Mallett higher ceiling, Hoyer.
Mallett has
floor,
a lower
higher
floor,
ceiling.
Too.
Yeah. Patricia or McDaniels?
I think Josh has the higher ceiling.
I think no matter what the defense does, if it does well, Belichick will get some of the credit, whereas McDaniels will get more credit.
No, but that's not the question.
No.
No, I know about credit. It's about who do you think can be better.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Patricia.
We'll never know about Patricia.
I'm going
unless
Patricia
he goes
has
with
a
another
higher
team.
Ceiling.
Patricia higher socks.
Just the higher socks. There you go.
The guy's an aeronautical engineer. He's a genius. Higher ceiling.
Okay.
I like both, though. And Josh, lower floor.
Hartwell or Collins?
Hartwell, higher ceiling. I mean, come
and
on.
Collins,
lower floor.
He lives on the lower floor.
He resides on the floor.
I'll go with that one.
Okay.
Can you guys?
He's now eating.
There was
he says
one of
so
them.
Little, but he still finds time to eat while talking.
One of them I didn't.
Called efficient. Like Michelle Stockholm said.
I didn't agree with.
Paul's giving you the look of shut the bleep up.
No, I was not absolutely not at all. I was waiting for you guys to be finished. The Gaffney Stallworth. I'm not sure I understand the Andy Hart ceiling floor game. So can, like, to me, you're asking kind of if everything were to hit perfectly from a talent perspective, who has the higher ceiling
this year? Not like entering the league. I think Stallworth entered the league with a higher ceiling.
I think there's a much better chance that Gaffney contributes much more to the Patriots this year than Stallworth. But I think if everything were perfect for Stallworth, he has a higher ceiling. I think he's more gifted than Gaffney is.
I don't think he is anymore.
I don't think that he's going
close
to do
to
that.
Done.
No, but
you know
that's
what I'm
not
saying?
The point.
So, but yeah, so I'm saying I disagree with the Gaffney ceiling. Yep. I think Gaffney is what he is. Stallworth, if he were to hit. Now, I don't think he's going to hit.
No,
so
it's not about
I'm not arguing
that.
I agree with Andy and Eric that Gaffney is going to give you more. But I think that if somehow just all came together for Dante Stallworth, I think that he has ability that Gaffney doesn't have, even today.
Oh, I don't.
You understand the spirit of the question.
Okay, so I wanted to make sure
you're
I
understood. You're right.
Definitely an example last night, the tennis racket drill, that the ball boys wave the rackets in front of the receivers, so it's kind of like a blind catch. Stallworth struggles mightily in that drill.
Bounces off his chest.
Last night he had one. He's coming across the back line of the end zone. By the way, I should add that he beat Devin McCourty like a rented mule.
Why you got to beat on that dead horse?
Because it's very concerning to me that he has not looked much better than the guy that we saw in 2011. That's a major concern to me.
Should be.
Yeah. See, he's coming along the back line of the end zone. Obviously, a throw like that is coming in
high
with a lot of arms and a lot of debris in front of Stallworth right through his hands. To me, that was why you do that drill. You know, it's a blind
but to
catch.
Be fair,
he doesn't
like
catch
he,
it in the drill.
Yeah, he struggles in the drill and in the game situation.
And that's why I wrote it like that. I go, it was very reminiscent of that tennis racket drill, which he struggles in, same kind of situation. He barely got a hand on it. It went right through his hand.
It went right through. Yep.
Like the Fred Taylor pass that you talked about a couple years ago.
More importantly, let's get back to McCourty, who you just want to lump on.
Don't.
No, but
don't,
in all seriousness,
do that.
Is he going to be a captain this year?
I have no idea how they do that.
Because nothing that should matter about
CSNNE.
Being a captain has changed. He still works hard. He's still a solid contributor. He's still a leader. He's still everything.
That's a tough call.
So are you electing your captains based on all that, or are you electing them and who's the best player on your team?
No, but if he doesn't become a captain, that doesn't mean any of those other things
don't
matter.
Point.
I think if he doesn't become a captain, it's because they want him to focus on just playing football and not the role of a captain.
But what if everybody says, I'm voting on the leaders of my team, and I'm Andy Hart, I think Brady's a leader, I think Wolf, and I think McCourty's still a leader, whether he sucks or not.
And what I'm saying is they still might believe that, but we need you to just focus on football. Don't worry about
but
the captain duties.
So it's not really voted on.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So CSNNE decides the captains?
I'm just,
CSNNE decides the captains?
That's why I said that. We'll check with CSNNE to see who's going to be the captains.
Well, but there have been times where
it's fixed,
just because you're a captain one year, you're not necessarily a captain the next year. And I don't think it's been necessarily performance related.
No, some of them have been non-performance related. For example, Kevin Falk had an arrest and was not a captain the next year. I think that's clearly an indication. And you can't really be a captain if you're getting arrested off the field. That's not everything we want in a leader. And then I believe he came back after that and may have been a captain again.
Right.
I think Richard Seymour went from being a captain to a non-captain, but it might have been one
was
of the
Was it
years
when he was benched for being around?
Well,
not
or
being around?
It might have been a year coming off a PUP stint where he only played half a season.
But what my point is, the only thing that's changed with Devin McCourty is how good he is. That's the only, in my opinion. I don't think he has stopped working. I don't think he's stopped, going to meetings and being the most astute.
Right.
Everything is still good except
right.
the performance. And so are you not a captain simply because you're not good anymore?
And I also don't think necessarily, Fred, I think you make a fair point, but I don't think that that has anything to do with his performance, being a captain. I don't think that takes away from his preparation. Like, we don't want you to worry about that. So I don't think there is any worrying about that stuff.
A 15-minute meeting with Bill right. or something? I mean, I think it takes some pressure off him because I think part of the story is, wow, they benched their defensive captain if he has to be benched, if he's terrible this year. Because I don't know that they can go through another 16-game season where he just We put him out there every week. He's getting toasted for 120 yards. We're just going to keep putting him. I don't know if you can keep doing that. And I think the
unless
story.
There's no one better.
But, I mean, we don't know there's no one better.
Right.
I mean, Sterling Moore showed a spark. Maybe. Yeah. Well, they don't necessarily know. They put a lot of guys out there that suck.
Yeah, they
they
have
thought
an
Sergio
idea.
Brown was pretty good, and he sucked.
Yeah.
Right? So they sometimes forget who's good. I mean, Antoine Harris. They thought he was good. He was the better option. He sucked. They make mistakes, too. So they don't know everything. And I think Sterling Moore deserves a shot. If it's week five, McCourty has given up, you know, five 100-yard games, just like he did basically every week last year. It's a bigger story if you bench your defensive co-captain, former Pro Bowl. Like, I just feel like it's a little extra, ooh.
So just to recap, Andy, it's okay to take gratuitous cheap shots at, you know, fringe players, special teamers like Sergio Brown. But I say that Devin McCourty got beat by two steps, and I'm beating up on the cornerback.
Well, you were
I get
like,
it.
You were like in the midst of a story about Stallworth, and you were like, oh, and by the way, I need to pause and tell you, McCourty was getting killed on the play.
I think that's relevant, though. It's relevant that news because from a guy that it was a former first-round pick.
Andy shows no pause. He just hates Sergio Brown.
Well, that's kind of what
it's
I'm
not
going.
Personal, though. I hate the player, not the person.
Oh, I know. No, oh, okay. Not saying you hate him personally.
And I don't even hate the player, right?
Oh, I do.
I don't like, no, I mean McCourty.
Oh.
I just pointed out that he got beat on the play.
Oh, I'm close to hating the player. I mean, if you continually can't do the job, I mean, somebody else has to.
Brent from Illinois says about the CSNNE, he says, with the prizes being linked to the brackets for people who vote, wouldn't doing anything underhanded be illegal? That's what we were kind of talking about.
Yeah. So this is the station that airs our TV show, and we're in the midst of a criminal investigation.
Jesse from Michigan says, just went to CSNNE contact us section and submitted an email to the website bringing up the change that removed the percentages. I voiced my concern that the voting may now be tweaked to be in favor of CSNNE hosts instead of the guest hosts. I mentioned how such a move would be damaging to the credibility and integrity of the website and how it could upset a lot of dedicated voting fans.
Please don't end
I
this
ask
the
that
I
the percentages be returned to the brackets like they were in the first two rounds so the dedicated voting fans can watch real time. I strongly suggest all other PFW fans go ahead and do the same. If enough fans do this, I think it could help make a difference and stop the fix from happening. Heck, if some decision makers at CSNNE think many of their fans will be outrageously upset if Paul and Andy don't advance, maybe they will even fix it the other way and force them to win to alleviate concerns.
Well, we don't need it fixed the other way. If it's on the up and up, we're going to win.
Well, Jesse,
and I also don't want.
I would say
fixed.
That your vote, that your email might help, but the fact that you're from Michigan and you don't have a Nielsen box, probably not. So, what?
So you have to encourage New England-based listeners to write in.
You know who had a Nielsen box? Flavor Flav!
Todd just sent me a picture of Paulina Gretzky. So thank you for that.
What? Who?
Although it's been all over the web.
What
Paulina
has?
Gretzky.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she's
the daughter?
I guess she's a real bad girl.
Oh, and I like
she's
a
bad girl,
and she needs a good sound spanking.
I'd like to go five hole on her.
Oh, for God's sakes. Always have to take it a step too far. Fred was creepy enough by calling her a bad girl.
VIP Strippers points out that the Houston Texans in 2010 were the 30th ranked D in 11.
Or 10.
In 11,
that
Houston
is correct.
Was ranked number one.
Strippers is correct.
So the D
that is
can
an example.
Improve a bit.
Yeah, but they that's brought in a defensive guru.
That's an example.
Right?
Yeah, well, you just said that Patricia's a genius.
Yeah, but he's been here.
He was making
but he's a
chicken
genius.
Salad
but we didn't, but
already.
Wait a minute, but we didn't bring
he
him in.
He make a better chicken salad.
Well, but if he's a genius, he should be okay, right?
No.
Think
maybe about what it would
a
be without him.
To get him to 31 last year. Maybe they should have finished 68th without him. I think that's Andy's point. Obviously,
yes.
We're exaggerating for effect, but that is, Strippers does bring up an example. We often say, you're not going to go from so far down to so far up. That is an example. Now, there was a huge difference in that you bring in a defensive coordinator who brought a different style and different personnel.
Didn't they also sign Jonathan Joseph? Arguably the best corner in the league last year.
And that's
so now
what
you
saying.
Added what you think is a key position, McCourty. You gave a
that's
lot of
that's part
blame.
Of different personnel.
No, but not just different personnel. They didn't add Steve Gregory. They added a number one corner.
Oh, they also had the young linebacker.
Once again, okay to take shots at guys that
didn't. No, it's not a shot. When you go out and spend
Internet 80, Steve Gregory.
No, when you go out and spend $80 million or whatever on a cornerback, You're expecting him to be a number one corner. He came in, he was a number one corner, and we've all said having a true number one corner has a huge trickle-down effect on the rest of the defense.
True.
Combine that with bringing in a defensive coordinator guru, a guy who is the picture-perfect Peter principle, where he has dominated as a coordinator in the NFL, and you have a reason to jump that far. What reason do we have? Steve Gregory, Jonathan Finene, and two rookies?
Nothing.
Well, I think Stripper's point was there is reason to think that they can improve a bit, and he did say a bit.
Oh, okay. I think there's reason to think they could improve a bit.
A bit, yeah. Sure.
But, yeah, I think they
but
will.
But is a bit to 26?
Yeah, because that's not going
to – I think they will
a
improve.
Bit is instead of just getting to the Super Bowl, you win it.
Well, that's
I'll take that.
Well done, Fred.
Yeah, and I
you don't let the Giants march up and down the field.
I agree with you that that would be improving a bit, you know, provided that they didn't win the game, you know, 48-45.
Right.
Chomping at the bit.
Well, did we figure out if it's chomping or chomping?
I believe it's chomping.
It's chomping.
But
at
it can
the
be
bit.
Used either way, but chomping is more popular.
Okay. Oh, well, I'll tell you later because I have that website that has all those, like fill the bill, fit the bill. It's really fill the bill, not fit the bill, but everybody does fit the bill.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And it tells you if you're an ass or an owl. It's got a little picture diagram depending on which one you say.
Okay. Mikey Vandalism, who was a
website
guest
to tell us
on Tuesday, right?
No, you're a pompous ass. We know.
We need a translator to figure out. He's talking too fast again.
Mikey Vandalism from Connecticut was here on Tuesday. Said he had a great time having lunch with all of you and enjoyed practice. Fred, Eric, and the intern were all very nice and welcoming. Paul was most personable, very nice and appreciative of lunch when the rest of you lards just ate. Andy wasn't that much taller than me, and Jackie UK was cute. That accent won me over. Also, saving the best for last, a special thanks to Kevin, who was very friendly and accommodating on my visit. Now on to my question. The Browns just sold for over $1 billion today. The question is this. Could an NFL owner purchase a second NFL team? For instance, could Mr. Kraft have purchased the Browns and owned two NFL teams, or is this against the rules because he could monopolize players and coaches?
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't buy the Browns, but I was thinking, with the amount of money NFL owners have, what is to stop them from buying more teams if and when they become available?
Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to have
you
more
can't,
than
it's
one.
Not like going to a store. Every owner has to be approved. Like, for example, Rush Limbaugh was in a group. He wanted to buy
the Rams.
The Rams, and they said no.
You're not even allowed to own other sports teams, right?
No, you can't.
No, Benson owns the Hornets.
And you know,
you have to have like minority, either minority stake.
Yeah,
or
something has to be minority.
Well, the Glazers own Manchester United.
No, that's different. But
we're
they
talking
made
about
the
real sports. The
Denver guy had
Kroenke.
To divest
Stan
his interest.
Kroenke. He had to get under, I believe,
give him his daughter or
ownership.
Something. Yeah.
Well, wasn't the guy who bought the Browns? The story is he has some small percentage in the Steelers.
Haslam is his name, right? Mm.
Adonis?
Who bought the Browns? Do we know?
Yeah, the guy.
I don't remember the name, but I believe he's
his last name is Haslam.
Jimmy Haslam?
I don't think it's Jimmy.
Well, I believe he has minority stake in the Steelers. Name is Haslam.
Yeah, oh, it is Jimmy. I'm sorry, I take it back.
Thank you.
Sorry.
No, I don't think it's Jimmy.
He just mocked
you. I know. I was just waiting for him to correct himself.
Well done, Fred. That's because it's not pronounced Jimmy. He doesn't pronounce it right. It's Himmy.
Himmy.
Might be a soft J.
It's a soft J.
Himmy.
Yogging.
Anyway, who is this Jimmy Haslam? What's his background?
He's rich.
It says new Browns owner Jimmy Haslam has also begun to make plans with the Rooney family to sell the portion of the Steelers that he owns. So,
was a minority owner of the Steelers.
Yeah.
And now he's
the majority owner of the Browns.
I don't know.
See, I think. He's such. He's so.
You said he was a minority owner of the Steelers.
Anyway, I know there are some examples of guys that have minority stakes in other sports, and then they. But
yeah.
I don't see how you could do that within the same sport because that's kind of competitive. Mm.
Yeah, you can't.
Like,
yeah.
MLS,
the
can't do that. He just
we used
did
to
it.
Own the San Jose Earthquake.
He has to relinquish his Pittsburgh.
And we also own the Revolution for
that's
a while.
That's not a real sport.
Okay.
You know, could you imagine if he's, you know, if Mr. Kraft bought Cleveland and, you know.
Trades.
Yeah, who are the eight guys in the Browns that are worth taking? Let's make some deals here.
Can I get to eight?
All right.
I guess Jimmy Haslam has said that the Browns will stay in Cleveland. There's no chance of them moving out.
I didn't see that.
Why would they move?
I don't think
and I'm
they
a little
would.
Surprised.
Don't they have a big, beautiful stadium
yeah.
and
if, but
a
if
fan
the,
base that
but
nearly
rabid.
You know,
I'm a little surprised though in the price tag over $1 billion because they don't own their stadium, Cleveland, right? It's part. They have a favorable lease, but it's owned by the city. Or I don't know the answer to that, But if that's true, I don't know why they're over $1 billion. So I thought the reason why the Patriots are 1.4 is because you're lumping the stadium into that price tag.
You sure they don't own the stadium?
I don't know.
Yeah, but what do you think the Patriots would sell for? That's what they're worth according to Forbes. What could they sell for? I mean, the Dodgers got like $2 billion.
Yeah.
The L.A. Dodgers.
And by the way, this just drives up your Patriots value.
Oh, yeah.
Every time one
absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think the Patriots could get way more than that.
You think so?
If the if Robert wanted to sell tomorrow, which, by the way, Robert, if you're listening, don't do it. Not even close to retirement age yet.
Right. As you know, a lot of sons that
would, you know it's a matter of time.
Right.
When a new ownership comes in, first thing we got to do, you know, Mr. Smith, is get rid of those, you know, so-and-sos, and we're out.
So, we'll see.
But I think the Patriots, I think the Crafts could get more than $1.4 billion if they decided to sell.
God, can you imagine what the Dallas Cowboys would be worth?
Same thing. You know, much more than whatever Forbes says they're worth.
They're a $2 billion team with that stadium and everything. Yeah, they're $2
billion. Well, I think the stadium alone is worth $1.5 billion.
Yeah, Fred.
No, just because you made it for that much doesn't necessarily mean it's worth that much either.
Yeah, it says that the city chose not to sell naming rights to the stadium, so they obviously have control over it.
Yeah.
I thought it was MBNA for a while.
No, that's Baltimore.
M&T Bank.
M&T Bank, I think.
I thought that was – oh, no, maybe Lerner owned MBNA.
Yeah, he was a credit card guy.
Okay, yeah, maybe that's what.
They have like, they have everything else sold in the stadium, like the gates, the sections, the parking lot parts, but it's still Cleveland Browns Stadium.
I thought for a while it was
that's a good stadium,
too. MBNA
Stadium. Yeah, it's not bad.
Not a bad place to watch a game.
Yep. Wyatt Dodge, our Alaskan Cowboy, writes in, if Brady wins the Super Bowl this year, next year, or sometime soon.
Yep, he's the greatest
ever. Do you think he is thinking of retiring after the Super Bowl win? And is wide receiver redrafted in the seventh round this year, probably will he be on IR because we have so many receivers?
Yes, and because he does not practicing.
Okay.
Well, actually, he'll be on PUP, right?
Yeah, but they could put him on IR, right?
After PUP.
Get the Hellenic flu?
Seems like what they're doing.
I don't think Brady will retire necessarily if they win the Super Bowl. I think he's still – but that's a good question. Of the two, BB and TB, is one either both neither – their future related to winning,
A Super Bowl. Going out on top.
And I think...
I can't see Brady. He keeps saying he loves this. He has no...
Plus, she's making him make money. She's not going to leave money on the table.
Everyone he adds another year. It's another 10 years. So.
By she, I mean
G. You're okay now because now you're taking shots at the quarterback. So now you're proving that you're not just picking on the lower lights.
Right. I pick on everyone.
Right.
Bill? I really think Bill is just going to be a flip of the switch. He's going to wake up one day and say... damn it, I'm going on five rings. Or six rings, maybe, at that point. But I don't think it's planned. I don't think there's forethought
I think, to me, it's all about how he feels. And we'll, and how,
but
how,
literally,
how would
it could
we
be
ever
one
know?
Day.
Like,
I don't want to get up today. I'm sick of getting up at 4:30.
I made the
comment. I want to have a beer and play some golf. Damn it, I'm out.
Yeah, I made the comment a couple of weeks ago on the show. Like, one day he's going to be doing whatever he's supposed to be doing at that time of year. I don't really want to prepare for the combine.
Right.
I don't feel the fire in preparing for the combine. It's time. It could happen later in the off.
Isn't it great to be able to say, I can do whatever the hell I want?
Yeah.
What a position that must be.
I'm really starting to get worried about Fred.
No, don't worry. He's not in that position, so we don't have to worry.
I'm not in that position. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great to be in a position like Belichick to know I'm at the top of my craft, money's not an issue.
So to speak.
You know, I can do whatever I want. If I walk away tomorrow...
Yes.
But
even better than that, not only financially and everything, you're fine. You know, if I ever say, you know what, I want to come out of retirement, you know there will be 32 teams begging you to come to them. So you're not even giving up your career.
Right. I always thought, like, you know, I'm 51.
Oh.
Okay? That's like no man's land for middle management. You know, you lose your job at 51, you're never going to get another job like that. You're going to work at Lowe's. Okay,
Fred's absolutely right.
You know,
I just like that he's thought about this.
Of course, I have.
We have.
If I lose my job, I have no idea what I would do. I have no idea.
Luckily, you won't.
You know,
wanted to stay in the business, in all seriousness,
I think I'm like Wes Welker. I have to prove myself every day.
I don't think that's true.
See, I think you would have. I think you're selling yourself short because you do so many different things. You could find something in some of those areas. For me, if I wanted to get a job and stay in sports writing, I would have to go to a small local paper and make absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
That would be the only way I could stay in. Otherwise, I'd have to pull like a Bill Simmons and just say, I'm going to bite the bullet and write online and write my own blog, and hopefully someone likes it. But now, how could you possibly do that? Because everybody and their brother does that.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm on a tightrope. Like, there's no safety net.
Wow, deep thoughts with Fred Kirsch.
I worry about that. You know, you don't know.
No, you don't. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So. I mean, you never know. You're right. You could be fired tomorrow, but you could be hit by a bus tomorrow. You could be anything.
Well, stop.
Yeah, but that's
Tyrone Poole told me that once.
I think I'd rather be hit by a bus than be looking for a job today.
Yeah, but you'd be fine. The way you live, you could pack up and go live on a beach somewhere and bartend.
You turn in that lease on the Lexus, and your financial problems
now?
Would be solved.
I don't know.
Well, the family's just about done. His son is just about to leave the nest. So
yeah, with college coming up.
Yeah,
you'd have to say
it's not going to cost any money moving forward.
Well, right? No, if he doesn't have a job, he goes, "I'm sorry, but you're on your own, and I'm going to Jamaica to pretend bar. I'll be on the beach. If you make it, give me a call." Seriously, your responsibilities to some degree.
You've
got a responsibility.
It's a lot worse for Paul and I. If we lose our jobs, now we lose our house, and we're raising kids in a tenement somewhere.
No, I hear you. As long as you have your health. You can do things.
I just automatically fall back on Beth will just continue to add hours at the hospital.
Yeah, assuming she keeps you around.
Can she get promoted to doctor?
No, but, you know, she can work more than two shifts a week.
Okay. Was that all she's doing now?
Yeah. When I met her, she was working four shifts. That's when we were rolling in the dough.
When she met you, you were on EEI.
Then we had, that's true. then we had children.
Let's see. Ken writes in. He has his own AFC seeding predictions. He's got the Patriots at number one.
No.
Texans at number two.
Yep.
The Steelers. He says,
AFC?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think they're extremely pissed off of how last season ended in getting swept by Baltimore last year. He's got them at three. Broncos at four, although he's not sold on their defense. The Ravens at five, and the Chargers or Jets at six.
That's plausible.
Yep.
I'm hearing a lot of groundswell for Pittsburgh lately.
Why?
Talking about the offensive line improvements.
Why?
Which was one of the things they really struggled with the last few years. Some questions defensively because of the age. Same stuff. Remember Warren Sapp last year famously called him old and slow.
But who'd they bring in on the offensive line? Darren.
I don't know.
They had two draft picks. They picked the kid from Ohio State and
Mike Adams.
Jonathan Martin from Stanford, didn't they?
Oh, they both suck.
Are you knowing that off the top of your head, Pepe?
Yeah. Yep.
No,
good
they,
for you.
No, didn't they? They got someone who Upshaw first round, didn't they? Courtney Upshaw.
No, that was Baltimore.
Baltimore got him.
Like
okay.
Third pick of the second round.
Well, line upgrades. They're counting
on. It's the Stanford guard, DeCastro.
Oh,
the guy who just fell, and they said, "Oh
my God,
I can't believe." I knew there was a guy that we liked that they got. It was
Mike Adams was one of them.
I don't care for him,
but he wasn't as bad.
Did you
as
say
Jonathan.
DeCastro was the other one?
Yeah, I think it was DeCastro.
You're right.
Yeah, but sorry, I mean that's a lot like the Patriots. That's okay. So we're counting two rookies to come in and be fine on the line, and our Hall of Fame running back is coming off an injury.
Hall of Fame and Andy Hart's mind only.
And the free agent year. Is Mike Wallace even going
to
play?
To me, it's all about the NFC anyway. I think the quality teams right now, other than New England, are in the NFC.
Juvenile keeps writing in to say, play his MP3. We played it last
show. He's got a new one.
They can show me something.
He's got
a new one.
Oh, does he?
Yes. Play it.
So, Pepe, if you
give it to me,
looks like a deer in headlights in there.
Well,
I don't know how to play that, so we can't.
Maybe we'll have to wait till the next show.
Can we get Doug Lane back in here to play it?
Did he send it to the Web Radio inbox?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
I got it.
It's in your box.
But listen to it first, Pepe, and then let us know if we can play it.
Make sure it's clean.
While we're waiting for that, Tony in Toronto writes in. He says, you're the best, Andy.
Thank you.
Telling it like it is, whether it's about Tebow or calling out that yellow PFT hack Florio.
Yeah.
I can always count on you to say exactly what's on my mind. You're all great, and the show's never been better, and I've been loving the app, too. Does the show go back to 3 days a week during the season? Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So.
Right when Darren goes back to school.
Oh.
Zach from Syracuse writes in, before training camp even started, I had Cunningham and Brace figured to be practically automatic cuts. From what I've read, both are practicing well. Can you talk about how they look and their chances to make the team?
Who
Cunningham
and Brace?
And
Brace?
Yep.
I think Brace is showing up. I haven't seen anything out of Cunningham. We talked about
I've
this
seen
last
a little
night.
Bit out of Cunningham.
I saw one in
not
saw
enough,
a little bit.
Not enough yet to change
invisible
my mind
again
that he
last
could get
night
cut.
Getting stoned on every one-on-one.
I don't think
that
he's
going
to get cut because I don't think they have the depth to cut him.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get cut either.
That would be the only reason.
Yeah,
unless they sign Carter.
Well, yeah, that could change things. But I haven't because I haven't been overly impressed with any really of those guys up front. I think Jones has shown some flashes that we talked about earlier, but you know, Trevor Scott has been out there. He hasn't really flashed
ain't seen him
to
do
me.
Nothing.
So yeah, I don't see Cunningham as being behind significantly any of those guys.
And Ninkovich is clearly
and Ninkovich
dealing
hasn't
with
practiced.
Nathan writes in from Southern California. After the 09 season, the coaching staff made it a point to cut those who soured the locker room. Dalis Thomas, Sean Springs, Randy Moss. That seemed to work out for us as we went 14-2 the next year, even without our deep threat, because we meshed better as a team. Is there any way that the Jets can rally around their 8-8 season last year? They are keeping Santonio Holmes, Revis, Cromartie, Scott, who, as far as I know, have a horrible locker room presence. Can they save the sinking ship with Tebow on board? Or should we lay back and enjoy the implosion of the Jets? I hate the Jets almost as much as I love the Patriots, so I hope not. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think you answered your own question in terms of chemistry. All the guys that are sort of the problem are still there. So it's not going to be a chemistry thing. I don't think you bring Tebow in and suddenly, you know, God's gift makes everything work. We've already seen that it hasn't.
Although Bart Scott seems impressed with him. He says,
of course he is.
Yeah. Well, Bart Scott actually, I don't think... I mean, Bart Scott is a very outspoken guy, and he can be controversial. I don't think he's necessarily in the group with the Santonio Holmeses. Where they're truly disruptive guys. Now, he is a loudmouth. I'm not taking him off the hook for that. But the problem with Bart Scott last year is his play diminished, and I don't know if he can play anymore. And I think part of it was he wasn't going to be an every-down linebacker anymore, and he didn't like it. That's where you run into problems with those guys. But I think he makes a good point. The Patriots got rid of Adelis Thomas and Sean Springs. The Jets didn't really get rid of any of those guys. The only thing I would caution about burying the Jets just yet is could you implode any worse than they did last year? I mean, it was a pretty bad situation. They were still 8-8. So clearly, talent isn't necessarily the issue. Now, if they don't straighten it out, and it doesn't look like they are straightening it out, I mean, Antonio Cromartie is working out at wide receiver, declaring himself the second best on the team. Chaz Schillens gets all upset. Chaz Schillens gets upset. You know, former Andy Hart favorite, Chaz Schillens. It doesn't look like they've really straightened out their mess. You know, seemed like Darrell Revis sort of painting himself out to be a hero
because he decided to show up at camp. If they lose a game, then it'll be really bad.
They're tenuous. I think hang. Now, if they play well, I think they have talent. I think that the reports of their demise, I think, have been greatly exaggerated because I think they still have ability. I think they have some young defenders who probably are going to get better, like Wilkerson, who I thought had a promising rookie season. If some of these things fall into place for them, they might get off to a good start. And that's an ultimate front-running team. If they play well, they become characters. If they play poorly, they have no chemistry. You know what I'm saying? So, listen, I think it's probably going to blow up at some point because I don't think I think the story with the Jets is the same as it's been since Rex Ryan arrived. Mark Sanchez.
Right.
If he can play, they can win. I don't think he can play consistently well enough for them to win.
And the other issue they have is it was easy, I think, for Belichick to clean house on some of those guys. They couldn't play. Adelis Thomas didn't get another job. Sean
what do you
Springs
do if you're Rex Ryan and you say, I'm making an example
Holmes
out of Santonio Holmes? What do you do?
That's far
He's
harder to do.
He's the only wide receiver they have.
So Bill had it easy. He wasted money on him, but they couldn't play anymore. They weren't going to come back to bite him in the ass. They're both on the unemployment line.
Tim in Baltimore says, I'm sure you've heard about the new book about Spygate called Spygate, The Untold Story, that's coming out next month.
Nope.
Were any of you interviewed by the author? I haven't heard of it, nor was I interviewed.
No, I was not, nor would I.
I think you guys are right. I don't have a very good sarcasm meter.
Sarcasm?
Sarcasm.
Sarcosy. No, I hadn't heard of that.
No, I thought for sure that was being sarcastic.
That ought to be interesting.
Until he asked us if we were interviewed.
We're assuming that it's going to be unfavorable to the Patriots. Maybe it isn't.
Who wrote it?
I don't know. He didn't have the author's name.
Depends who the author. If it's Michael Hawley, it won't be.
Yeah, but it could be.
I don't see any need to write a story about Spygate that was favorable to the Patriots.
But it may come out where, you know, the bad guy and it comes out to be Goodell for burning the, you know, getting rid of the tapes. And if he hadn't done that, it wouldn't have been such a big deal or something like that.
They're
you
not
know?
Doing a very good job promoting it, by the way.
I never heard of that. I'm being serious. I thought he was being sarcastic.
No, it's, I guess he's, you know.
Does it have a link to Amazon?
I don't know. Tim in Baltimore, tell us a little bit more who's the author. Not that we want to help
sell
books, but, you know.
Something, was it The Untold Story?
We have a duty as journalists to know what it says.
You said duty.
He yells at me for not reading Greg Bedard's Boston Globe, but
Bill and
there's a Kindle version.
There's a Kindle version.
It looks kind of shady.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Is it a pamphlet?
Brian O'Leary.
Well, it's got a guy with like an old-fashioned video camera drawn. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not so sure that that's real. Is it?
Bill in Mass has had enough. He says, I'm calling the Felger and Mass show on 98.5 this afternoon to talk about the scam of a bracket. This is BS.
They won't let you on. They'll, I mean,
or that 800 number. I forgot it. I'm
don't tell him that's. Don't tell him that's.
Tell him that
want.
We were talking about it here, please.
No, but don't tell him that's what you want to talk about. Right. Tell him you want to talk about
Red
Sox.
I want to rip Beckett because you guys don't do that enough on this show.
Right.
Well, I saw your little rant yesterday.
Embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. That show has become embarrassing.
I didn't realize you had gone when I saw that tweet yesterday.
What?
I was like, where's Andy tweeting? I think you were gone.
Sean writes in, once again, so entertaining. Awesome job covering the team. I love this show. Laughing all the time, listening to you guys making money doing this. I have a solution to the cornerback problem.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You think we make money do this?
Well, it's part of what we do. I have a solution to the cornerback problem. Get that midget suited up and booted so he can scrap the ass of the end in the 3-4. And then for kicks, line him up on the outside and have him chomp at the balls of the opposing receivers. Who is he talking about?
Eric?
I don't
scrape
know.
What the hell is he talking about? To see.
Anyway, he says, Andy is well positioned to serve as the ball cleaner for the team. Andy, I love you, dude, but seriously, let Paul and Fred talk, you overzealous a-hole.
Suck it.
I'm glad that he loves you.
Paul is
yeah, I know, right?
Paul is a very smart dude, no, and not. Fred was missed while gone. Chill out, bro. Rabid nympho. I don't know.
These are my people.
I
Sean, chill out, bro. Rabid nympho.
Sean from
is that
like pow,
a new, pow. Is that a new shout out at the end yeah. instead of pow pow, right?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of sauce.
It's one
Sean
of those things like pornography.
Into,
you know it when you see it or hear it.
Right. All right. So rest of the day, we've got Bill Belichick coming up around 1 o'clock. On Patriots.com. Patriots practice starts at 1:30. That goes into 4, and then you guys have your updates after that.
Got it.
There'll be Patriots Today, so Jackie UK will be on Patriots Today. And if you want to not just listen to her, as Andy says, you want to see her.
You want to no, ogle
check her.
Her
out.
Yeah, you can do that on Patriots.com, Patriots Today.
We'll take any kinds of hits. Let's not pretend we're beneath getting a few hits because right. she's hot or not hot.
Don't forget to go to CSNNE. Keep the pressure up.
Keep voting. Even though they don't show your vote registering, keep voting.
That makes it harder for them.
That'll make our case stronger with the Attorney General later.
Right?
Just don't publicly complain on behalf of us.
Yes, don't mention our name anywhere.
Right.
So before we go, we got a few minutes. Guys, what are you going to be watching at practice today? Andy?
Put me on the spot there. The Patriots. I am going to probably focus a little bit on the guys we're talking about, Brace and Cunningham, because I have not quite been on the Brace bandwagon that everybody else seems to be on, and we're getting a lot of questions about Cunningham. So I will be focusing on those two juxtaposed to Hightower and Jones. And all the guys that are getting all the pub, I'm going to figure out today exactly who deserves the pub.
Okay. First thing I'm going to look for is whether or not Spikes and Lloyd actually show up, dress, and participate at all. And if they do, then I'll watch and see just, you know, how well they're moving and whatnot. If they're not there, I might focus a little bit on Ryan Mallett because...
For Adam Schefter?
Yeah, just to see, you know. I've tried to look at a little bit between him and Hoyer, but it's haven't really focused enough on either one of them specifically, so I'll try to do that maybe.
Okay, Paul?
I'm really curious about Danny Aiken. I want to see how the long snaps are coming.
He can't take anything seriously.
No, well, you guys came up with two.
There's 90
pretty,
players.
Pretty
There's no
relevant
one else you
things.
Could look at?
I would say I want to continue to watch Dan Copen and see what the offensive line is doing.
It's not Copen.
See
so
if
well.
He's got a chance to get cut because I don't think Copen. It's been a good first week for him. See what guys like Gallery are doing, your boy Freddie and Ryan Wendell. And also, we haven't really talked about this guy at all, a newcomer to camp. Darian Weems seems to be showing up. Yep. He's athletic and physical. And yesterday he took a spot at the second unit right tackle. And
throw anybody down like he did Jake Beckett the other day?
He's moving up. And my boy Matt Copacabana
moving down.
Mm-hmm. Although he didn't lose his job yesterday, he replaced Kyle Hicks. Weems replaced Hicks, but Copa has not had a great couple of days.
Weems to be on the move?
He's on the move.
I think I'll be looking a lot at defensive line. This Tim Bowman guy seems to have been getting
Paul just said something under his breath. I could actually hear it through my headphones.
Wait a minute. You got mad at me for calling you out earlier.
What'd I do?
And now you're calling Paul out.
Unfortunately, my guy, Trevor Scott, doesn't seem to be
doing anything
noteworthy. Yeah. So
it's because they haven't moved up to safety.
Tough.
Well, he needs to be part of the big nickel.
Right.
So, that's a concern, Fred, though, because he is, I think, counted on to have a role. And if he just doesn't have any role, that front seven is not deep enough you don't have Andre Carter. You're counting on a couple rookies. Who knows what Cunningham is? Now, if you can't count on Scott, Ninkovich is – who's playing? Who are we counting on to do anything up there?
I'll also be looking to see if Brandon Lloyd and Brandon Spikes.
So you're going to look through Eric's eyes.
Is out there.
You weren't listening when Eric
talked. I was, but I'm going to be doing the same thing to see if they're going to be back out there. And
just to reiterate.
What type of participation they have. So what are we watching here on TV?
An umpire? PA announcer was ejected.
Oh, okay. They ejected the PA announcer?
Because they played three blind mice after a questionable call, which happens virtually in any minor league or college game in any sport.
That's
funny,
though.
The guy turned around and pointed to the booth and threw him out.
Can he do that?
I don't think he can do that.
Doesn't his, authority end
right,
at the
exactly.
wall?
He's
Maybe he was just making a point.
His jurisdiction ends at the lines.
Right. All right.
That's going to be it for today's show. Thanks for joining us. Big weekend, though. I assume they're going to be practicing over the weekend, although the schedule isn't out yet, but at least one of the days. So we'll be covering that. And
podcast later today, too.
Podcast later today, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
One of these days, your heart will stop and play. It's fine.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.